and it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Yes, it's Thursday. I feel like I've been hit in the head with a hammer.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Blah, 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 blah.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, haters of all kinds, victims, you know who you are. Wake up, America. It's Morning Sedition. That's Mark Riley right there.
Hi.
I'm Mark Maron, and I feel like I've been hit in the head with a hammer. I already ate an entire bag of M&Ms and drank a large drinking whatever it is. I did it. And it was an entire large thing of Dunkin' Donuts coffee, which I need. It's not a matter of like, I need it.
You didn't share the M&M's, then. I'm highly upset.
Dude, did I misunderstand you when you said
that? No,
hey,
I said I was going sugar. I was going sugarless, except for the sugar in my coffee. I have to have sugar.
I forget that's what Riley does. He's like, that's it. No, I'm not doing any of that. Literally, when the M&M's hit the counter, he's like, all right, can I just get two of those?
Right.
And then the next thing I know, we got Sweet Wells coming in, cinnamon buns.
I know. Yesterday, man, that took me back. Because I used to get one of those every morning. Folks, for those of you who don't know, they have in New York these guys that have these carts. They're like every other block in Midtown Manhattan. And they sell pastries and coffee. That's all they got. Pastries, bagel, and coffee. And when I get here at like 3:30 in the morning, they're loading up right over here in the next block. So they come out and they have these cinnamon buns. They're like the size of manhole covers, and they charge 75 cents a pop for them.
Yeah, that's a bargain.
Yeah, and it's essentially dough, a dollop of cinnamon, and the rest is sugar.
But that's all right. You know, every culture in the world has their own version of fried dough.
You know what I mean?
And the sweet roll is our version of fried dough. And now there's someone out there just melting down. Like, why don't I talk about the issues? Oh, my God, I've been up all night. I'm fighting for my life. I'm sweating.
Yes.
Yeah, we got an email the other day by a guy that stuck in my craw yesterday, among other things. Aside from the fact I'm exhausted and, you know, I'm battling this, you know, this festering Woodstock of cold soreness on my face. And I got to do tough crowd today.
Wow, with a cold sore?
It's not festering. Look at it. You can see
it. Oh, yeah. It's going there.
I took the pills. I'm sorry. It's a little souvenir from hell. It's a little reminder of maybe some of the things I did in the 80s were not the best idea. But how do you know? You know what I mean? You don't know what's in the package.
If you don't try.
So, I'm happy to say that's the worst that happened. But nonetheless, too much information for the people that are just waking up. M&M's, Dunkin' Donuts, coffees, cold sores, cinnamon rolls. These are the important things about this planet at this point in time.
That's right.
A 600-pound woman was surgically removed from her couch yesterday. That is so sad, people. This is just so sad.
You mean they had to put an MD in there and literally surgically remove her?
It's not funny. She became the couch, man. She became the couch. She was sitting on there, they think, for almost 5 years, Riley.
Wow.
5 years, and what happened was, like, I guess not unlike when you don't turn somebody in their bed, you know, like if they're sick or in a coma, her skin fused with the fabric of the sofa.
Oh, man. And she passed away, too, huh?
Well, they couldn't remove her from the couch. She had a hard time. The thing is that how many people were facilitating this? She must have been eating. People must have known there was a problem. It's so sad that, you know, that this... I don't even know the point I'm trying to make. I guess what I'm trying to make is... We got to be careful with the cinnamon buns and the M&M's.
Yeah, because, you're right.
I respect my freedom to the point where I don't want to fuse with my furniture.
I'm going to the gym right after this show. You convinced me.
Okay. I was going to go to the gym yesterday. I was going to go today. I can't. I got to do tough crowd this afternoon. Last night I made a decision to take a gig. I usually don't take a gig. We're going to talk about the issues, and I want to get back to something I'll talk about the gig in a minute. But some guy wrote in. I don't have the email in front of me because I'm not going to do that. But, you know, these people that this was on these emails sort of like, I'm really disappointed with how the network turned out. All you guys do is bash Bush. Are you being paid for by the Democratic National Committee? Is it all Democratic money? It's like, you know what? You self self-righteous putts. Just, you know, let me just say one thing, is that, you know, we talk about a lot of different stuff on this show. He was all worked up about, why don't you talk about Sudan? Sudan is very important. How come no one's talking about Sudan?
Well, no, we did.
We did, but also, it's like, you know what? It's bad there. Maybe you should find out how you can take action and make that better. Or do you just need a fix for your liberal guilt to make you feel justified in your small life that you're doing something? We're doing something here because we realize that the biggest obstacle to freedom in this country at this point in time is this idiot who's in office.
I didn't
know if I could say that Yiddish word. I'm not sure if that's...
Yeah, you can say it.
You can't say the...
It's America.
I'm just going to say that you can't. But, you know, the issue is, it's like, it's not a matter of Democratic or Republican. And yeah, maybe we do criticize Bush constantly. That's because he deserves it, and that's because nothing is going to start until he's gone. Whatever you think of Kerry, whether you think that they're all politicians, they're all on the same tip, they're all this, they're all that, you know, there's no difference between them. I know in my heart that if we get George Bush out of office, there will be a 99% change in how this culture is seen in the world, how I'll feel about being an American, how I'll feel about, you know, walking down the street, how I'll feel about this sort of dominant cultural paradigm that is starting to take over. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
I don't like that kind of criticism. It's like, yeah, there's a lot of causes we can't get in depth with, that we can't noodle on about.
We have a link on our website to a place where you can take action about the Sudan.
Well, people just like, see, they want, you see, if they don't have the dialogue within their own minds, and the thing is, you're never going to make everybody happy. I saw a great example of this last night. You know, not everybody has their own little, you know, pet causes, their own little pet information, their own things that they think they know more than the other person. Mm. You know, and on a basic level, also, Mark, we're here to entertain.
Yes, we have to do that. Otherwise, we'd just be... one of those other networks.
Yeah, but, you know, so I did this show last night, dude.
Yeah.
I decided to do it. Joe's Pub. I don't even know why exactly I decided to do it. It was for Heeb Magazine, which is, you know, it's a good magazine.
Yeah.
It's a sort of contemporary Jewish magazine for all sorts of contemporary Jews. You know? And there's nothing like, you know, being judged by a room full of Jews that makes me feel like I did when I was a kid.
Uh-oh.
You know, I got up there. I was hosting the show. The cats who were on the show, Stephen Glass, the guy who fabricated all those stories, the fabricator. This dude, it's amazing to me.
The white Jason Blair?
Right, who put the reputation of the New Republic on the line. They made a movie about him. Like, can you imagine, like, I think I got shame. I think I got guilt. This guy's got to go out in public after they made a movie about him, about, you know, what a pathological freak he was.
Yeah.
And here he is, you know, doing the storytelling night. You know, and everyone's supposed to do personal stories. I couldn't help myself, man. He went on stage, he told this whole story about going to the therapist and about his experience with therapists. And then he got done, and I went back up to outro him, and I had to. I was like, story, right? I mean, kidding, man. I'm kidding. Take it easy. You know, it was hilarious. But they had this. Who else was on? Albert Maysles, guy who, with his brother, a great documentary filmmaker, a great garden salesman.
Yeah.
He was pretty interesting. It was a very candid night. Everyone only had 7 minutes to tell their stories. Rain Pryor, Richard Pryor's half Jewish daughter, was on, and she was great. You know, she was really very talented. Did some characters. Did her Jewish grandmother and her black grandmother, and you know, it was. It was pretty good night.
Is she being held back by being Richard Pryor's daughter? I mean, would she have gone further?
You mean that within her or in general?
No, not just like in terms of career.
Because being Richard Pryor's daughter, it can be sort of a liability emotionally, I think, for yourself.
It could be.
But I don't know. She's pretty young. I mean, she's definitely the younger of the Pryor kids. I'm not sure which wife this was. But I knew Richard Jr. when I was out in L.A., you know, and he was heading for trouble. And I know there's a lot of siblings. But I don't know if she's being held back or not. You know, I'm sure it can help you and it can hurt you. It's definitely a tough act to follow. But she actually is really a talented person. She did some interesting stuff.
I've heard some stuff that, that she's tried to do some pretty innovative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that in many instances, I guess maybe she kind of got pigeonholed or something. You know, well, you got to be funny because you're Richard Pryor's kid. And, you know, she wants to do poetry. She wants to do something else. She wants to do something serious. Can't do it. You got to be funny.
You know, that kind
of stuff.
Yeah, no, I think she's doing all right. I'm sure it is sort of, like I said, it's a tough act to follow. There's been other people, like, you know, within families that have not succeeded. But I think she'll do all right. Now, this is today. Yes, what is last night? George Bush, or yesterday in Albuquerque. Don't just do this.
Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
today, buddy, thousands of U.S. troops and Iraqi soldiers launched a major assault, okay, on the radical Shiite cleric in Najaf. Thousands, man.
And they were supposed to be mainly Iraqis.
And then what does he say yesterday in Albuquerque?
Well, here we go again. He says, hey, America, I know what I'm doing.
I know what I'm doing when it comes to winning this war. And I'm not going to be sending mixed signals.
What is that? Who are those people? It's all a big setup. We'll talk about it in a minute here on Air America Radio.
Urgent news for people who have taken the acne drug Accutane. Accutane was promoted as a safe way to treat severe acne. 100% of Accutane users will experience adverse side effects if you or your child has experienced liver, kidney, or pancreatic damage, inflammatory bowel disease, diabetes, birth defects, muscular skeletal injuries, psychiatric or cardiovascular problems. Call the Accutane Litigation Group at 1-866-422-2843 to see if you may be entitled to compensation. 1-866-4-ACU-HELP. Now.
I think today, in particular, women have a tremendous amount that they're carrying around, men and women.
Wendy Light, for the doctor's night guard devil protector.
I own a flower shop. I have a lot on my plate. I grind my teeth very, very, very badly. I clench, I grind. The doctor's night guard took care of that. You know, we have the weight of the world on our shoulders. We don't need the weight of the world in our mouths.
Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard in the oral care section.
The Connection from NPR. Where do you go for your daily shot of intellectual caffeine? Think of The Connection as a supersized Bendy with a whole lot of frothy ideas, angles, and attitude. It will get you going, thinking, dreaming, and make it very hard to slow down. I'm Dick Gordon. Join us on The Connection from NPR.
The Connection, weekdays, live at 10 a.m. Eastern on NPR Talk 107.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Ambassador Joseph Wilson, you got a front row seat into what it's like to be a subject of media coverage. How did you rate the media coverage of your op-ed piece and the aftermath? What did they get right? What did they get wrong?
Well, you know, I've been watching the media coverage really in the run-up to the debate on going to war. My own sense in the run-up to the war was that all of us let the side down. I think that we had an obligation, our Congress, our investigative journalists, those of us who attempted to speak out, really had an obligation to discuss fully this decision on whether or not we were going to send 130,000 people to invade, conquer, now occupy Iraq before we got these guys there. And I regret very much that there were so few of us who were willing to stand up and be counted in that particular debate.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
The International Reading Association is a professional membership organization dedicated to promoting high levels of literacy for all. Their objective is to improve and encourage a lifetime reading habit. With members and affiliates in 99 countries, their network extends to more than 300,000 people worldwide. For more information about the International Reading Association, please go to www.reading.org.
I can say schmuck.
Schmuck.
I love that, because that was a dirty word. That was a dirty word when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So this is Mark Maron. I'm Mark Riley.
Hi. I'm Mark Maron.
This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Is somebody talking to you?
Yeah, no. Morrison's getting all worked up in the studio. He was outside of the... Morrison is back here to micromanage everything, I think.
Back from the O.J. trial. Oh, sorry.
No, he just gave me a dirty look in the booth there in Mission Control. I was like, no, we're not going to play this. Mr. Jury Duty.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Jury Duty, 2 days off. Look, I wanted to say today on the show, Scott Klinger, the co-director of Responsible Wealth, will talk about how executive corporate culture encourages the division between executives and their workers. Today we have a sort of sub-theme of the what do you call it? The
disparity.
The disparity is the word I was looking for. Robert Reich, professor at Brandeis University, and of course, you know, the former Labor Secretary under Clinton, and the author of the book Reason, which I read, which is good, which lays it out, you know, how to be a liberal in the modern world and be proud of it and believe that it is going to transcend and succeed and be the dominant point of view.
Yes.
And given that the point of view in this culture, like that thing we just played, that clip, that sound of Bush saying he knows how to win the war, and that round of applause, you do realize, Mark, that they are micromanaging every individual that comes into those rooms. If you are not a party line guy, if you are somebody that's suspect, if you are somebody with a sign that says, boo, Bush, you will be thrown out.
This is your fault, you know that, right?
Of course it's my fault.
Because
take responsibility
for the last 2-3 days, in each and every presidential Palm Pilot, coming up soon right here on Air America Radio,
yes,
you've been mentioning the fact that Karl Rove has been planting people and questions in the Bush gatherings.
That's
and
hilarious.
Sure enough, now we see that Karl Rove, or I shouldn't say Karl Rove, somebody has been planting nothing but Bushies in every rally that he speaks to.
It's hilarious because it does read like the bit. The event allowed fervent Bush backers to ask the president questions. This is in Albuquerque yesterday.
Yep.
But in keeping with Bush's custom, most of the event was devoted to a speech by Bush and then to testimonials from people handpicked by the White House extolling the virtues of his policies. What policies? Like, look at this. The queries put to Bush in the question and answer session were never hard-hitting and were often not questions at all. This is like prophecy.
Exactly.
I mean, it's all of a sudden like the Palm Pilot is almost rendered useless. I mean, listen to the sample questions on Wednesday. Can I take a picture with you? Can I introduce you to my wife and mother-in-law? I want you to know that I'm praying for you.
Right.
You know what? You know, I'm not even a believer, and I'm praying to something that people wake up. I mean, this guy says he knows how to fight the war. I mean, these guys are running on some sort of conviction. But look, let's
do this.
I'm sorry, you take it apart. I'm all worked up. What
happened? No, it's okay. It's all right. It's a Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's expected. What we have to look at here is George W. Bush, the myth versus the reality.
Yeah.
Let's listen, if we might, to hear what George W. Bush talked about just yesterday when he was hammering home the idea that he's competent, he knows what he's doing, and he wants the mission in Iraq accomplished.
Now, let me listen. We all want the mission to be completed as quickly as possible, but we want the mission to be completed.
Yeah, as completed as possible, and we want it to be completed.
So he's so clear, isn't he?
Well, but then hold up.
Yeah.
All right, now you heard that he wants the mission completed, but what was he saying on May 2nd, 2004.
Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
Now, wasn't there a sign there that said that it's the one that Tommy Franks took the sword for?
Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, dude, this guy, and now they're just scrambling. All they can really say is, well, you know, in our next term, we're going to finish it. What does that mean? We're going to make it all better. They got no plan at all. And this guy has flip-flopped on the war from day one almost. I mean, in April of 2004, he says that they won't leave Iraq until the job is finished. Then May 14th of 2004, he says, Bremer said, if the provisional government asks us to leave, we'll leave, right?
Yeah.
So they'll say, okay. May 24th, 2004, Bush says, U.S. won't leave Iraq until the job is finished. You know, Bush said, quote, given the recent increase in violence, we'll maintain our troop level at the current 138,000 as long as necessary. June 1st, 2004, Bush administration sets deadlines for troop withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? June 10th, 2004. Bush says, U.S. won't leave Iraq until the job is finished. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
And on August 12th, 2004, thousands of U.S. troops are engaged in what appears to be, thus far, a futile fight to either kill or capture Muqtada al-Sadr in Najaf.
It's a delicate situation. If they kill the guy, it's going to explode in their face.
It's bad enough they're laying siege to the city. And again, here's another one of these contradictions that the Bush administration does not want people to see. Originally, that invasion was supposed to have been done by Iraqi troops with U.S. help. Now it's been the exact reverse. It's U.S. troops with Iraqi forces thrown in for good measure.
Because they know eventually that, you know, maybe the U.S. will mission accomplish themselves, and the Iraqis will be left there to contend with, you know, tribal rivalry.
The mess that's left.
Yeah. You know, being indicted by, you know, either the Iraqi police or the Iraqi government or within their own tribes for, you know, working with the Americans. I mean, the disaster that continues to expand and will not be resolved even after the U.S. leaves is just mind-blowing. I can't wait to talk to Peter Bergen. You know, he's going to be on, and he's written a book.
Well, he's talked about the very thing that you've talked about for the last month or two.
That the war made terrorism worse.
Yes. Now, we need to very quickly deconstruct exactly what Bush is doing politically here.
Right, okay? Help me out.
All right. Here we go.
Yeah.
It was a week ago that George W. Bush and his reelection campaign were saying, look, our agenda now leading up to the convention is to lay out our agenda for a second Bush term.
Our agenda is to lay out our agenda.
Yes.
The war on the war on terror.
Yeah. You know, and we're going to complete it even if we haven't to be completed.
Exactly.
Anyway, he goes out, he does maybe 2-3 days of laying out the agenda, and suddenly he stops.
Uh-huh.
And now we see no talk of a second term agenda. What are we seeing? We are seeing him hitting Kerry to try and regain his footing, his edge on the war on terror.
But
so you see, this is all, it's political. And Porter Goss is part of this saying, we haven't talked about that yet today, but Porter Goss, the naming of Porter Goss as CIA director, the nomination, is part of an overall strategy. He's had to veer off course here.
Right.
At first it was like, okay, I'm laying out this agenda. Now he's got to go back to, I'm the war president. I know how to do this. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to keep you safe.
I'm telling you, man, if he didn't fill those rooms with chills, he'd have nothing. You know, because there's got to be, you know, just millions and millions of people that realize, look, dude, you know, you can't screw with my head like that. First of all, this isn't the war on terror. This was a unilateral war that you got us into in Iraq for personal reasons, almost. You know what I mean? The war on terror is a separate issue. But the fact that he's trying to convince people that people are buying the line of like, hey, you know, it doesn't matter that there's no weapons of mass destruction. It doesn't matter there was no yellow cake uranium. It doesn't matter that all the premises that I put forth to go to this war turned out not to be true. We're in it, and as Americans, we're going to finish it. How about it for me? You know, it's ridiculous that he thinks he can meddle with the, you know, the basic thought processes of the American people in such a way.
You know what should be making him very nervous about now?
Yeah.
A lot of his Republican cronies are thinking his emphasis is wrong.
Yeah.
They're worried about the economy, which, in case you hadn't noticed, has been kind of in flux ever since those July job announcements came out.
Hold on a second. Wait, there's an economy that we have to worry about?
It seems like most Americans are worried about the economy. We're going to get into that, too.
But what about the war, Mark Riley? What about gay marriage? I mean, these are the important issues. What about Jesus coming back? I mean, we're talking crazy talk, jobs. I mean, where are your priorities, man? Come on.
All right. So
I'm wrong.
Is Jesus coming back in the next segment?
That would be great. Our next guest, Jesus. Please, don't go away. It's very, very important.
I mean, look, how else do you explain this foolishness? How else do you explain Bush's apparent belief in the gullibility of the American public? Well, we'll get to that a little bit later as well. Still to come, the presidential Palm Pilot, Scott Klinger on class warfare, the liberal agenda, and so much more here on Air America Radio.
This year, I'm hearing two kinds of political humor. Type 1 is the standard fare of Leno, Letterman, and that crew. Easy, cheap shots that are rooted in media stereotypes. You know, George Bush is a moron, John Kerry is a flip-flopper, that type of joke. These are to humor what Chicken McNuggets are to cuisine. They make us laugh, McNuggets will fill you up, but they also reinforce all that's stupid, shallow, and incurious about our political culture. Empty humor calories. The other kind of humor makes us laugh while cutting towards some deeper truth. Okay, so George Bush is thick as a brick. How does he get away with all this stuff? While Daily Show host Jon Stewart interviewed news guy Wolf Blitzer recently, Stewart, in his funny, unique way, asked Blitzer how the mainstream news corps had been so unskeptical of the Bush pretext for the war with Iraq. And there, in the midst of a comedy show, Blitzer cops to groupthink on the part of the media. You could surf the news channels for weeks and never find that insight into today's politics, but it was there on a comedy show. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The mother of all battles is reportedly underway in the Iraqi holy city of Najaf. U.S. forces have begun a full-scale assault against followers of Shia Muslim cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. This is an effort to crush a week-long uprising. The military says thousands of U.S. troops are taking part in the offensive. U.S. labor appears to be pulling out all the stops for Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry. Labor leaders from around the country are preparing for a major campaign offensive to win every vote in every battleground state. Former New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, better known to some as America's mayor, is refusing to rule out a cabinet position in the Bush White House if the president wins a second term. And Hurricane Charley is getting ready to bear down on the Florida Keys, and Tropical Storm Bonnie remains on course to hit the Florida Panhandle. Residents are asked in the entire state to prepare for the worst. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Hey people, it's Mike Church from Sirius's Talk Central. You know, back in the day, they had this thing called the Monroe Doctrine. Well, now we're going to have this thing called the Church Doctrine. You'll get to hear the Church Doctrine every day on Sirius Right. Bring on John Kerry. Bring on Johnny Beefcake Edwards and whoever the left-wing loonies want to bring on. Because I can't be fought and I can't be reasoned with. You can do that when you know you're right.
The Church Doctrine. Cut that out. Weekdays, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern on Conservative Talk Sirius Right 142.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Steve and his wife are saving for a trip and want to know where to put the money. I'll tell him coming up next.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Should Steve put vacation savings in a money market or a CD?
My wife and I are saving up short-term about 2 years for a trip we're going to be taking in 06.
Wow, where are you going?
We're going to Disney World every 5 years on our anniversary. Just wondering which would be better for that short-term savings, a money market account or a CD?
Not much difference.
Not much.
They basically pay about the same. A six-month CD is paying about what a money market's paying. Nothing. That's what they're all paying.
What's the main difference between those? I noticed that money market accounts seem to be a little more liquid than CDs. But
they are. Of course, the CD has a penalty if you take it out before the time.
Right.
And you'll give up a portion of or all of the interest that you've earned during that time. In addition to that, the money market, as you said, is more liquid. You've got check writing privileges. Now, the CD is usually at a bank, is FDIC insured, and most money market accounts are not. They're with mutual fund companies.
Okay.
But that has not been a problem. There's never been a money market account to fail.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
President.
I want to be the peace president.
I'm a war president.
I want to be the peace president.
Man, oh man, morning tradition with Mark Riley.
Hi.
Mark Maron here. All jacked up on M&M's and Dunkin' Donuts, coffee, and no sleep.
Who could ask for anything more?
I slept a little bit, though. I got home, I swept it.
I slept early. I went to bed like 7:30, got up at 2. It was a great night.
Yeah, well, I had to do that gig, and I was panicking in the cab, and, you know, I got home, and I just hit it. I sacked out.
You know, I get panicky, too, and I sometimes you want to try and medicate that, but I haven't. Yeah. I haven't had the guts.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do it.
I got the presidential palm pilot right here, and, you know, they're going to be showing us on the Sundance Channel.
Uh-oh.
This is going to be great. And nobody watches the Sundance Channel. All right, here's the presidential palm pilot. 9 o'clock a.m., wake up, stay on message. We're in Iraq, but we're not in Iraq. 10 a.m., arrive in Las Vegas. Remember, what happens here stays here. Note, find out what happens here. That's funny. That's some funny stuff. 11 a.m., speak to the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners Conference, Las Vegas. Tell them Kerry is pro-dry rot. 2 p.m., watch Dancing Waters Fountain in front of Bellagio Hotel. The water moves in time to the music. It's like magic. I don't know if they'd get that on the Sundance Channel. You know, Catherine, we're going to be on the Sundance Channel starting 3:05 p.m. Secret Service drags me away from Dancing Waters. 4 p.m., go to Circus Circus Casino, put some money down on Carrie to win. Now I can't lose. 6.05 p.m., arrive at fundraising dinner in Santa Monica, California. 6.06 p.m., take the money. 6.07 p.m., and run. 6.08 p.m., board plane to leave. A golden state indeed. 11 p.m., bedtime. Spread California cash on the bed. Roll around in it until sleep comes. Go away, Laura. This doesn't concern you. Hey, I mentioned that we're going to be on the Sundance Channel starting soon. They're going to have cameras right here in the... Isn't that great, Catherine? What's it like in Minnesota? I haven't been there in a while. Oh, boy. We're in trouble. Sorry. Here we go.
I feel a memo coming up. You're going to get a memo about that.
I'm working on my impressions. Can I work on my impressions? How was it? Was it all right?
Was that Curtis Mayfield in the impression? What impressions are you talking about?
Hey. I'm trying to do this.
Okay.
All right.
I'm sorry.
We've got a guest. What's the difference between me not saying anything and... dead air. What's the difference between that?
Catherine Lampert.
Imagine that on a Sundance Channel, people not talking on radio. That's going to be tremendous. I'm sorry.
You know, you're going to do another 2 hours.
Our guest. Okay, we're going to talk about... first of all, let's play that Bush clip of him, you know, talking about the rich, which he knows so much about.
That's why you got to be careful about this rhetoric. We're only going to tax the rich. Yeah. You know, the rich in America happen to be the small business owners. That's what that means. Just remember, when you're talking about old workers, you're going to run up the taxes on a certain number of people. First of all, real rich people figure out how to dodge taxes.
Wow. Yeah. You know, I'm rich. And if you don't have my book... my book's available all over, even in Minnesota, where I come from. And I appreciate, now I'm drifting into some sort of George Bushing. Anyways, the disparity between, I'm not sorry, this is all, it's comedy. The disparity between executives and wage earners is growing. It's a tremendous problem, and a lot of people don't seem to realize it, especially poor people.
Yes.
Don't seem to quite realize that the administration that is in the office of president at this point in time, he said, trying to correct his grammar, is actually making it worse for poor people, yet they're pandering to poor people through wedge issues. But to talk about the disparity a bit is the co-director of Responsible Wealth, Scott Klinger, is with us. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. And Mark, how are you?
All right.
Pretty good. So tell me first exactly, what does the director of Responsible Wealth do? What is Responsible Wealth?
Well, Responsible Wealth is a project of a group called United for a Fair Economy, located here in Boston, but we work nationally. And we work on trying to draw attention and shine a spotlight on this widening economic inequality that you've just talked about and help people understand why that's happened. It's not... as a result of sunspots or hurricanes, it's a result of the rules that we've crafted for the economy.
Hey, okay, so what is the nature of that disparity? What are these rules that you're referring to?
Well, the nature of disparity can be measured many ways, but one of the things that we try to call people's attention to is the fact that it wasn't always this way. In the period after World War II, we saw pretty much all ships rising equally, and in fact, the lower economic status people did a bit better than the very rich in this country.
Uh-huh.
And that was a result of certain programs the government had in place, like the GI Bill and federal home mortgage loans that made the cost of home ownership affordable for the first time for American people. And that all began to change in about 1980. We saw these enormous tax cuts that President Reagan put through that really benefited people, particularly those that owned assets versus those that worked for a living.
Right.
And we've seen a rise in anti-unionism, a whole host of things. Corporate, you mentioned you used President Bush's quote on small business taxes. One of the big problems is that small business people pay taxes at a much higher rate than large businesses, than multinational businesses.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so there's a huge... disparity in that, and that's something we think needs to get looked at.
Scott Klinger, I'm curious because there's some data that I've seen recently that talks about the disparity in terms of growth during this particular recovery between not just the rich and poor, but what the rich buy versus what the poor buy. For example, hotel occupancies in luxury hotels up 11%. Hotel occupancy in economy hotels up only 3%. Retail, high-end retail up 13.5%. Walmart up 2.2%. So it seems as though it both in terms of perception and reality, the poor and the working poor and the middle class are struggling during a time that everyone's being told that there is, in fact, a recovery, and that recovery is largely staying with the rich. Is that generally what's happening?
Yeah, the middle class is eroded in this country, and you've either gone few folks have drifted over into the upper class, and most people have gone into the lower range, into the working class range, and there's a lot of economic insecurity. And you're absolutely right that that the luxury goods and the luxury hotels are what's really driving things. And the problem with that is that that's the model that's held up for everybody else. And saying if you're not staying at the Hiltons and buying Rolex watches, then something's wrong with you. And that's part of our message, is to say nothing's wrong with you. What's wrong is the rules that are driving that.
Absolutely. Scott Klinger, stay with us, will you? We're going to talk to you after this break. Air America Radio.
Sirius is at the Newport Jazz Festival. On August 14th and 15th, we'll bring you America's greatest outdoor jazz party direct from Rhode Island.
One more time.
This year is the 50th anniversary of the festival, and all the biggest stars are coming out to celebrate. Dave Brubeck, Herbie Hancock, Harry Connick Jr., Branford Marsalis, and many more. Don't miss this historic two-day event. It's Sirius live from the Newport Jazz Festival, August 14th and 15th, starting each day at noon Eastern on Pure Jazz 72.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
The author of a new book called Where Have I Gone Right? The Right Mountain Guide to Getting the Job and Life You Want is Jim Hayhurst. You have to choose between often the reality of the rent that's due on the first of the month,
yes,
and your desire to just, you know, ignore that and go for the brass ring.
There is a reality that happens, and if you are, you know, if you have to make the rent due at the end of the month, it is pretty darn difficult to change your careers dramatically. And those that have done it tend to have saved up some money and given themselves a little breathing space. There was some research done in New York that said that the average length of time out of work had gone from 13 weeks to 18 weeks over the last 4 years. So if you want to make a significant change, you certainly have to count on, you know, 4 or 5 months to change jobs.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius. The consultant pharmacist is your own personal health care consultant. You'll find them in nursing homes, other long-term care settings, and in your community. Anywhere there's a need for high-level medication management. But consultant pharmacy is more than just managing medications. It's about helping people live better and longer lives. This message brought to you by the American Society of Consultant Pharmacists.
Are you in the car right now with your kids? Sounds like the perfect time to ask them about the drug ecstasy. Go on, ask them. You have time right now to ask them. Think there's a better time? Maybe when you can sit down and have the talk? Aren't you sitting right now? The time to have the talk is right now. Lock the doors if you have to, because they're sitting right there. Go on, ask your kids about ecstasy. Right now. If you don't do it now, do you think you ever will? Ask your kids about E right now. Then go to AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
Racial steering is illegal. It takes away your right to see the homes you want, deserve, and can afford. If you think you've been a victim of housing discrimination, contact the National Fair Housing Alliance. We'll respond to your call within 24 hours and inform you of your rights. Check us out online at nationalfairhousing.com or call 1-866-222-FAIR. That's 1-866-222-FAIR. A public service message brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Morning Sedition, it's Mark and Mark here on Air America Radio. That's Riley and Marin to you.
Yep.
Our guest on the phone, co-director of Responsible Wealth, Scott Klinger. We're talking about the disparity between the wealthy, 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 and the poor, poor, poor. So how much of this is due to shareholders, Scott?
Well, corporate pay is one of the big problems, and that's something we look a lot at. Shareholders are starting to wake up to this issue, though. That's the good news.
And what does that mean, wake up to it? Explain to me the whole layout of that.
One of the things we've looked at for quite a while is the ratio of CEO pay to the average worker pay.
Mm-hmm.
And last year in 2003, that number exceeded 300. It was 301-1. So the average large company CEO made more than 300 times what the average worker made.
So is it safe to say that this administration is good for corporate wealth?
Yeah, it's definitely been good for corporate wealth. It's been corporate taxes have continued to go down, and there's another big proposal that's been passed by both the House and the Senate to lower that further. That's a large cause for concern. But shareholders are starting to rise up in the wake of post-Enron world, and the largest number of shareholder proposals introduced at annual meetings last year and the year before concerned executive pay, and they're getting larger amounts of votes. Unfortunately, things aren't really changing at the corporate level because corporate boards continue to be controlled by other CEOs, and they have major conflicts of interest in controlling pay in another's boardroom when they know someone will come around and start asking hard questions in their own.
So is that why cost-cutting pressures gets exerted on the workers and not on the executives?
That's right, and that's one of the things that we try to focus on. Just to give a sense of it, the average worker in America takes home $517 a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's before taxes, so mm-hmm. that really takes home. And the average large company CEO takes home over $155,000 a week.
Oh, my God.
So that's the magnitude of what 301-1 looks like.
Wow.
Scott Klinger, I'm curious if the corporate executives that are the beneficiaries of all this largesse, are they out of touch with the realities that their workers face? Or, I mean, do they have a sense of entitlement about these constantly spiraling salaries?
Well, out of touch, structurally, they're kept out of touch, and it's hard to know where exactly to place the blame. But I had an experience about 10 years ago before I started this job. I was working as a portfolio manager and went to a fancy investment conference at the Waldorf Astoria in New York. And it was one of those rainy mornings in November when everyone knew travel would be slow, so I jumped on an earlier shuttle, and mm-hmm. other people did the same. We were all sitting there at 8:30 when the conference was supposed to start, and someone came up to the podium and said, the first speaker, Bob Allen from AT&T, can't make it. And everybody said, well, he's only 10 miles from here in New Jersey. Why can't he make it? We all had to fly in. And they said his helicopter couldn't land.
Aww.
And at the local heliport. And it was very clear from that. It was a very telling little parable because he never drives in a limousine past normal people through poor areas. He flies over them. And I think that's and increasingly in the 9/11 environment, CEOs don't even have the opportunity to sit next to somebody else in first class. They have their whole separate private plane network, and they never have the opportunity to meet someone who's had been adversely affected by corporations and that sort of thing.
Scott Klinger, we see in many instances when companies downsize, when they lay people off, it seems that certainly among many of the publicly traded companies, their stock seems to go up. Why is it that when these salaries spiral out of control, Wall Street doesn't punish the companies for that?
There's a very short-term look at profits, and there's the suspicion that, or the thought that if you lower costs, your profits will go up. And there's not very convincing evidence about this. One of the other things that happens is your morale goes down, and your productivity can be negatively affected. But there definitely is a strong positive relationship between cutting costs either by laying off workers or outsourcing jobs to overseas to low wage areas that boost CEO pay, and that's something we've looked at. There's all sorts of negative social behavior that gets CEOs big rewards, even things like avoiding taxes or relocating in an offshore tax haven. All those sorts of things have contributed to companies that behave that way. The CEOs make more.
So you're painting a picture where CEOs and corporations, obviously, as we've always known, really are not living in the same reality as their workers, and they don't see these people as people just sort of, digits on a screen that are moved around, depending on what the bottom line is.
And they tell themselves a story that makes logical sense with their reality. Another situation we had a few years back was with a large drug company that had laid off workers and given their CEO a raise. And as we sat in the very plush boardroom, the head of human resources of this company looked at us with all sincerity and said, laying off people is hard work. Don't you want us to be paid well?
Yeah.
And we didn't react. We didn't jump down his throat. We just sat there and let that comment sit in the room. And he had an epiphany. He said, wow, I never really thought about that before. I believe that, but I can't believe how it sounds. And he ended up having a pretty significant change in going back and figuring out a way to grant stock options to all the employees in the company, including those that worked in the third world. And,
so you provoked a little conscience in the guy.
But no one ever gave him the space to challenge that that tape that was going on, that of course laying off people is hard work. Shouldn't we be paid well for it?
Unbelievable. It's a rationalization that it's almost inhuman. Now, quickly, our last question. How much do national politics and policy, you know, really affect this disparity, in all honesty?
Well, I think it's a key issue, and I think it's something that we really need to look at the way corporations are governed. That's the real problem. U.S. shareholders have been voting on these resolutions, but we need to look at some different models like those that exist in the U.K. where shareholders directly vote each year on CEO pay and get to hold the bosses accountable.
So more democratic in a way.
More democratic. There was a proposal put up by the Securities and Exchange Commission over a year ago to make elections of corporate directors a truly democratic process, and it got the most overwhelming response from the general public of any proposal the SEC has ever made in history, something like 95% support from tens of thousands of average Americans, and yet it's bottled up because corporations don't like it. They're threatening suit, and it's been thus far effectively blocked, and when it finally comes out, it'll be watered down.
They want greed to win. Thank you, Scott Klinger, the co-director of Responsible Wealth, for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Scott.
You take care. We'll be right back on Air America Radio.
Stop whining. That's what head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, told workers who just lost their high-tech jobs to overseas outsourcing. Stop whining. Analysts say this is just the beginning. Millions of more jobs could be lost in the next few years. But it's good for the U.S. economy, according to Donahue. Good for the U.S. economy? Are they kidding? These high-tech jobs were supposed to be the jobs of the future. Jobs with good pay and good benefits. Now, millions are at risk. That's why we, the Communications Workers of America, are doing something about it. We're fighting to end tax breaks that encourage companies to ship our jobs overseas. We're helping tech workers organize so they have strength at the bargaining table when it comes to salary, health care and pension benefits, and working conditions. Learn more at techsunite.org, because America's future is on the line. A message from the Communications Workers of America, the Union for the Information Age, and proud supporter of Air America.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Jim Brewer.
Unleashed.
Raw Dog, Friday night, 6 p.m. Jim Brewer Unleashed with my good friend Pete Corielli and the gang. We know strippers.
We know cinnamon. We know hookers.
Hey, Daddy.
There'll be no midgets. There'll be no delinquents.
Off the leash.
What's up? Put out the
bouncer. Come over there and punch in the snot box, Charlie. Come hang out. Jim Brewer Unleashed, Friday night, 6 p.m.
Raw Dog.
Where what at?
Sirius 147.
I started hearing voices telling me, you're dying, you're dying. I couldn't make them stop. My heart kept speeding up and slowing down. Now I feel paranoid all the time, and I can't tell what is real and what isn't. I'm on medication, but it doesn't help. Sometimes I believe I'm already dead and in hell.
Unfortunately, this 19-year-old learned that happiness and a heightened sense of touch aren't the only side effects of ecstasy. Leave ecstasy alone. To learn how or to read other real-life ecstasy tragedies, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
There's a good reason why doctors and dentists are always washing their hands. Soap and hot water remove harmful bacteria, including the bugs that cause food-related illnesses. Keep it clean in the kitchen. Wash hands, utensils, and work surfaces thoroughly before preparing and eating a meal after handling raw poultry, meat, eggs, and seafood. This reminder brought to you by the Partnership for Food Safety Education.
It's me, Joe DiMassina, the RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. I'm here to remind you, if you celebrate, then designate, because if you booze and cruise, you lose.
We can be strong and do anything if we dare to dream.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
We've got Robert Reich coming in the next, is it the next hour or the hour after?
I think it's the hour after.
Where we're going to discuss some more about the disparity, you know, and maybe a little bit about outsourcing. There's still some stuff I want to learn about that, because that's a big issue to people.
Yeah, and there's so many people that argue on one level or another that outsourcing is a good thing, and I'm not quite sure how that works.
Thing. An inevitable thing, at the very least, which I don't quite understand. Economics is not my specialty. I'm Mark Maron. It's nice to meet you. Mark Riley, how are you?
By the way, neither is mine.
Yeah.
Economics, I know very little about except what's in my wallet.
Yeah, but though you think in terms of that, like in terms of like you are able to follow the money as the sort of thing that propels you through news stories, and you're always right on the money.
Yeah.
You know? And like, you know, I look at a news story and I'm looking for, you know, vague abstract things like, could this be a sign of the end times? You know, whereas Riley's like, just follow the money. That's the answer. It's no big cryptic mystery. It's not a conspiracy. Look where the money goes.
You want to follow some money?
Sure.
Let's do some real money following.
Okay,
here.
Okay.
There is a group called People of Color United. They're based in Washington, D.C. They have begun running a series of radio ads attacking John Kerry as rich, white, and wishy-washy, and mocking Teresa Hines Kerry for talking about her African roots.
So these are black people?
These are black people, but they're not financed by black money.
Mm.
Although money is green, I guess. I don't know. This guy, a guy by the name of J. Patrick Rooney, former chairman of the Golden Rule Insurance Company. Yeah, I'd buy from them. And the founder of a new firm called Medical Savings Insurance Company. Both of these companies, by the way, benefited from that 1996 legislation that was backed by Republicans created medical savings accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this 2003 Medicaid prescription drug legislation also helped this company. So this guy, who's an arch Republican and not black, is backing these ads to the tune of $65,000 of his own money, $475,000 of his company money into Republican campaigns and causes over the last 4 years. He gave $30,000 to People of Color United's radio ads, and they're being aired in Cleveland, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, St. Louis, Kansas City, and other areas with large black populations.
So
these are in the battleground states.
Well, why are they running these ads? Why
because
are they putting their name on these ads?
Because they want to erode Kerry's support in the black community, because they know that if there's a massive black turnout, Bush is toast.
Right, but who wants it? This guy, though, the white guy.
Rooney.
Right.
J. Patrick Rooney.
But he's using this other organization as sort of a front organization to do this politicizing and trying to turn the black community against Kerry.
Yeah, quote, and this is from an email response to an inquiry from the Washington Post. I support the group because the genuine word from the black community should be heard, not white folks saying for them.
That's right.
End quote.
There's your liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. We'll talk more about that. We've got all kinds of sweet little stories, breastfeeding stories.
Ooh.
People have to be removed from their couch surgically. Awful. One, finally break down and scrape the Dukakis sticker off the Volvo. That's right. This is the liberal agenda, if you're wondering. I'm writing these down. Two, picket the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community center. What is their problem with hermaphrodites? Three, remember, constantly shove your beliefs down people's throats. It's what we do, gang. Four, criticize Olympic committee for barring the Palestinian rock throwing team.
Oh, God.
Five, phrase of the day, just throw it into any conversation, quote, we wouldn't even be having this discussion if the victim were black, end quote. We'll see you on the other side of the top of this thing.
On the other side, we're going to be talking about Peter Bergen on George W. Bush's War, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Raptor Watch, and more here on Air America Radio.
Or someone you love has been diagnosed with breast cancer or ovarian cancer, call SHARE, the survivor-led organization that has been helping women for 26 years. SHARE, self-help for women with breast or ovarian cancer, provides free programs, services, and 24/7 hotlines in English and Spanish. SHARE's toll-free number is 1-866-891-2392. Don't go it alone. Call 1-866-891-2392 today.
What was your name again? Barry?
Johnson.
Barry Johnson.
Yeah.
The U.S. Postal Service wants to remind everyone this year to protect themselves from becoming victims of identity theft. Your personal information is a gold mine for identity thieves.
Identity theft is taking key pieces of someone's personal information, such as a name, address, or social security number, in order to impersonate them. For more information, log on to consumer.gov. A message from the U.S. Postal Service.
And hearing a great deal about frequency modulation. The new high fidelity.
New way.
Superior sound resolution with S-Plex technology. Sirius, it's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. It seems the Food and Drug Administration has found one more reason why Americans should steer clear of purchasing drug imports to save millions of dollars each year in needed medication. FDA is now linking the possibility of terrorism amid mounting pressure to ease the restrictions. Acting FDA Commissioner Lester Crawford has been quoted as saying that terrorism was the most serious concern of the agency. Crawford made the statement even though Homeland Security has not received any specific information indicating such a threat. State of Vermont has already filed suit against the government agency to ease restrictions on the purchase of drugs from Canada and other places to save Americans money. Other states and city officials are also considering legal action to ease the burden for American consumers. First, the controversy over the Swift Boat anti-carry ads questioning the military record of the Democratic presidential nominee by a little-known but well-financed Republican organization out of Washington, D.C. Now there's word that a Republican contributor has launched a series of radio ads tailor-made for black radio stations in 12 battleground states in which John Kerry is accused for being rich, white, and wishy-washy. At the same time, the ads mock John Kerry's wife for having African roots. The organization sponsoring the ads is called the People of Color United. It is said to have substantial financial support from one J. Patrick Rooney, who heads the medical savings insurance company specializing in medical savings accounts. From all indications, Democratic presidential candidate Kerry is the odds-on favorite of labor this election year, and union leaders are pulling out all the stops to win every vote for the Massachusetts senator. Labor leaders, according to reports from Chicago, are mobilizing volunteers and staff members to stage door-knocking campaigns and mailings in some 16 battleground states. 6 in 10 union households supported Al Gore back in 2000. The unions are working hard to get Kerry elected despite the limited labor support during the Democratic primaries. Marine spokesman confirms it's the big one as gunfire echoes through the holy Iraqi city of Najaf this morning. U.S. forces have begun a full-scale assault against followers of Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr in an effort to crush a week-long uprising. Military says thousands of U.S. troops are taking part in the offensive, which began with the cordoning off of the revered Imam Ali Shrine, its vast cemetery in Najaf's old city. Assault was expected to be led by Iraqi forces, many of whom have only minimal training, in an effort to lessen the anger from Iraq's Shiite majority should the offensive damage the shrine. And Pentagon auditors have concluded that Halliburton has not effectively accounted for more than $1.8 billion worth of work in Iraq and Kuwait, finding is bound to increase pressure on the government to withhold hundreds of millions of dollars in payments to the company. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Something new's just come to town. Bigger, bolder, brassier than anything you've ever heard before. They got names, big names. Riggins, Banks, Reeves, plus a posse of pros. And they're bringing the big guns of the NFL to Sirius. Live 24/7. NFL all the time. NFL Radio. Sirius 124.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Cars can be as mystifying as the Dead Sea Scrolls, but a little ingenuity can decode the hieroglyphics. When I come back, we'll walk like an Egyptian and talk about torque.
Oil is oil. Don't kid yourself. Technology makes better oils possible, like Royal Purple. Royal Purple reduces friction and increases film strength. Go to royalpurple.com and you'll find independent test results from North Carolina and Oklahoma State. Not hype, just facts. What's in it for you? Superior protection, fewer oil changes, more horsepower, torque, and better gas mileage. Find Royal Purple at great stores like Pep Boys, your local high-performance center, and royalpurple.com today.
Ancient Egyptians used slaves to build pyramids, but we'll use them to illustrate torque, the force that pushes your car. When a driver presses the gas pedal, the engine propels the car a certain distance per engine revolution. That's torque. It's measured in feet per pound, and just like sleighs muscling stones, the more torque pushing the car, the farther and easier it moves. For that intense seat-of-the-pants sensation, check out the torque-to-vehicle-weight ratio before buying your next chariot. I mean car. And tune in tomorrow for a trip to Bonnie, Scotland, where we'll pony up the definition of horsepower. Brought to you by Royal Purple Synthetic Oil, the performance oil that outperforms.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing, it's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning's Edition.
That's funny. Oh, now, see, I can notice the self-conscious way. Hey, Catherine.
Yes, Al?
O'Reilly.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
See, when I start thinking about doing an impression, I can't do an impression. You know what I mean? When I start thinking about...
Frank.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
You all got to be up here in the nose.
I just got to... They just told me it can't be in the nose. They told me... Hold on. Let me try. I was just recently in Minnesota, and, you know, I... we had that dog... on the other day, saying mean things about me, and I don't mind dogs, but I didn't need to take that crap from a dog puppet. You know, I mean, what do you got? That's Ken Jones.
It's more up here, and I the positive. Yeah, mostly I didn't know the laugh. Liar, lies.
Doesn't he do that, too? I don't listen to the show. I hear it's very good. That's sort of like addiction. He's like, you know, I've never seen it. I heard it was very nice, though. I'll work on it.
You got other work lined up?
That's right. I forgot. This is the Al Franken Network. I'm not bitter. I'm not resentful. I've always liked the guy. The first time I did Politically Incorrect with him years ago, before it was even on Network, mm-hmm. when it was on Comedy Central, I've always thought the guy was funny. Actually, when I was 14 years old, I went to camp with a kid who was an NBC executive, okay? A kid, his father was an NBC executive, this kid, Peter Blumenthal. And I was so into SNL, I was like crazy for SNL. All I wanted to do was meet John Belushi. And this kid said, well, you call my dad when you get out of camp, when I was visiting my grandmother in New Jersey, and he'll take you up to the studios and you can meet John Belushi.
Uh-oh.
And I was so thrilled, man. My grandmother called. We called this guy, Blumenthal's dad, and he set up a meeting for us to go up to 6H? Is that the name of the studio over at 30 Rock? And I was going to meet John Belushi. I'm like 14 years old. I'm thrilled. Uh-oh. You know, we're waiting. And Franken comes out. I remember this. This is like, this has got to be 30 years ago, right? No, 25 years ago. I remember Franken coming out just like, looking like he was high, you know, with his big, he had the big Jufro and the fat glasses. Like, yeah, John's busy. And I remember specifically just like, ah, John, yeah. And you know, John was probably laid out. He was probably wasted. Who the hell knows what he was up to? But I remember specifically Franken coming out and giving us the blow up. And maybe that's where this resentment comes from. Maybe it's a really old resentment. And also, but Franken said he was hilarious. So I remember the first time he said something politically incorrect. The question was, if they had a test, you know, to a genetic test or a blood test to tell whether or not you were gay or not, you know, to tell, you know, would you take it was basically the question. And Franken just with that great timing goes, I don't know. You know, if I were gay, I'd want to know. I think the guy's brilliant, and I'm doing this with no real malice intended. But thanks for bringing that up. It's so funny that we're that afraid that we're not afraid of the executive order here. It's like, hey, dude, don't mess with Franken. Franken can take it. He's been in comedy a long time. Though he did it. Go ahead.
The bloggers are going to love this.
Are they? The dueling Frankens? We'll have to work that out.
Yeah, really.
We'll have to work that out. I wish I could stay up for Janine's show. I've known Cedar forever.
Yeah, you mentioned you'd known him for a long time. And you said you've known Janine for a while, too, huh?
I've known Janine a really long time. I knew Janine when she worked at a fitness center in Kenmore Square in Boston at Joy of Movement. She was a receptionist at a fitness center, and she used to do some really funny jokes about that.
Uh-oh.
And Cedar I knew back when he was trying to figure out how he fit into the entire comedy spectrum. I remember, like, Cedar was one of those guys that's like, you know, he's going to try stand-up. And he'd try stand-up, and then he'd be like, No, that's not it, you know. And then he'd do all kinds of weird characters. He lived out in San Francisco when I was living down the Mission in San Francisco. He moved out there, was living around the corner from me.
Really?
Yeah, just like he had no idea what he was doing there or why. And he'd rented this little room in someone else's apartment where he was like, you know, writing things. And he'd come over and I'd feed him because I felt bad for him. And I remember one time we drove out to this one-nighter. We drove out into the middle of nowhere in somewhere in Northern California. You know, it was a one-nighter, and I was performing. It was at some saloon. It was a ridiculous gig, these one-nighters. Anytime there was a one-nighter at a bar, it was always, like, poorly, you know, prepared. You know, they wouldn't turn the TV off. You were fighting with, you know, blenders. You think maybe we could turn the game off so I could do my act? Well, there's a lot of people here want to watch it. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll be in the corner with the microphone plugged into the guitar amp. All right. So Cedar comes out for me with that, you know, for that. You know, and I did the best I could in that situation. And when I got done, he just had that look where he just looked at me like, I knew the look. I'm never doing this. Whatever you're doing, I'm not having any part of this. I am taking the higher road. And there he is at 8 o'clock, the high road with Janine Garofalo.
7 now, Eastern.
7 Eastern?
Yeah, they moved it.
Good morning, Portland. Good morning, Miami. How you doing?
That's right.
So what are we, and I don't mean to alienate you people on Sirius or XM or up in Vermont or one of the other.
Plattsburgh.
You think I can mention all 7 stations we're on, but that's not funny. A lot of people are listening, and a lot of people are buying my book. Did I mention I have several books available? What are we talking about?
Lord, how are we going to make this transition, ladies and gentlemen? This is like over the great divide here.
Here's how we're going to make the transition, dude. Every day I get on the train, every day I fight the strange reactionary fear in my soul to not judge Muslim people for being Muslim or being part of some international plot to undermine the safety of the world.
Or being from Queens, New York.
Yeah, that's it. Now, it turns out that the guy sitting across from me here on Terror Watch, the guy sitting across from me on the train may not be willing or wanting to blow himself up, but he might be thinking bad thoughts and sending some special packages to Afghanistan.
Well, this is a guy by the name of Mohammed Junaid Babar. And I think, you know, maybe after the break.
Wait, Mohammed Babar?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's the guy that used to work across. Are you serious? That's his name?
Yeah, that's his name.
Oh, my, I got to tell my friends.
And he's from Queens, which
I know,
is where you live.
Telling you, I used to call him Babby. He used to, like, he worked over at the deli around the corner from my house.
Well, he's, you know, he's copped a plea. And by the way, I don't know why, this is like August. He copped this plea back in June.
Uh-huh.
June 2nd.
Oh, wait, you're saying that they put off publicizing it?
I don't know why they put off. Maybe this is a run-up to the convention. I have no idea. But he has pleaded guilty to 5 counts of conspiring to provide material support to terrorists, for which he could do 70 years. That's 70, ladies and gentlemen. Not 17, 70 years. The judge says he'll probably get less time. He was associated with that group over in London.
Yeah. With the shoe bomber, maybe?
Not with the shoe bomber, but this particular group, who I think they busted some of the people in London.
Allegedly off the
includes,
con,
yeah.
The con tape?
Yeah. And these folks are apparently Pakistani terrorists. So, yeah. Most likely off the con tapers.
So this is interesting. It says right here that this guy, Babar,
yes.
I set up a jihad training camp. And you think they'd see that in Queens. I mean, how long could it
yeah, right?
have taken him to see that? But, yeah, it is scary and it is real that apparently he was sending some supplies over there. I don't know how big the supplies were. Let's see, what is it? Here it is. Quote, where those who wanted to go into Afghanistan, I would learn how to, they would, oh, that was at the camp he set up, that they would learn how to use weapons and explosives. But I'm going to have to do a little research here and figure out exactly, you know, what they busted him on, and we'll explore that a little more with Peter
Bergen.
It's going to be here. That's going to be great. That dude has talked to Bin Laden.
To Bin Laden, I read the piece he did in Mother Jones. It's very
that
deep.
Piece of Mother Jones changed my life. It
really?
Changed. Yeah, well, it was the first key in to the whole moderate Muslim sympathy, and we talked a little bit to our guest yesterday about that, Manji. Irshad Manji. Yeah, she's great. She's also in this new Heat magazine. That
really?
God, everything's connected, man.
Wow,
and it's amazing. It's amazing. Give me the laugh. And we got to break this up. We'll be back in a minute on Air America Radio.
Want to turn your car into a stealth fighter? Invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it is been made illegal in some states, so call now for details. Remember, the Phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the Phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
The Connection from NPR. Where do you go for your daily shot of intellectual caffeine? Think of The Connection as a supersized Vendi with a whole lot of frothy ideas, angles, and attitude. It will get you going, thinking, dreaming, and make it very hard to slow down. I'm Dick Gordon. Join us on The Connection from NPR.
The Connection, weekdays, live at 10 a.m. Eastern on NPR Talk 107.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
David DeBato, re-up for military service, was rejected again, and then found a slot in Army Counterintelligence, where he has been serving as a special agent. Are you able to distinguish that there are many of us who have strong support for you and who feel that in many respects you were put in harm's way on a misguided mission?
First of all, I think that the men and women that are serving over there absolutely know why they're there. From what I have seen, they do not feel that they've been lied to. That's just the overwhelming sentiment over there. And again, that's coming from someone that's been over there and has just come back from over there. I also think that, you know, they're a pretty wise group of folks. They do realize, and they can separate out, that the people that may disagree with the administration's policy, the reason why they were sent over to Iraq, can appreciate that they may be against the policy, but yet support the troops.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
I wasn't going to school because I was just making money stealing cars.
Well, I was 10 when I first got involved with drugs. I skipped school because, you know, nobody cared.
When I first got pregnant, school was not important to me, so I dropped out.
I just thought the only way I can make something out of my life is if I get an education.
I still need to go to school to make it for myself. Stay in school. Give yourself a chance.
I think I'm happier now. I know I'm happier now.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Wild. I was just watching the CNN feed, and they had like Najaf, right? Things are burning up and blowing up in Iraq, and then they just cut to California on fire, and I'm like, wow, it's gotten really bad. They're here.
You know, the end of time.
Yeah. We're going to cover that later with Rapture Watch. Right now, although my therapist is on vacation, that doesn't stop me from writing down my dreams.
Mm.
Here's last night's. I'm a barber. My floor is covered with hair. Some of it is llama hair, which I find disturbing. One after another guy sit in my chair, put on a smock, and asked me to change their lives. I asked them, what do you want, buddy? They all want something different. I want a little off the sides, and I want a president who speaks in complete sentences. I want a president who can make my girlfriend do the stuff I see in the videos. I want a president. I want a president who doesn't make me vomit. I want a president who will tell me it's patriotic to sit in my room doing bong hits and playing Grand Theft Auto. I want a president who won't let the homos get married. I want a president who's buff and isn't afraid to try new things. I want a president who isn't afraid to go nuclear on the Arabs. I want a president whose belly button is an Audi. I want a president who makes me feel happy like Pooh Bear with an erection. I want a president who would never have sex in the Oval Office. I want a president who always has sex in the Oval Office. I want a president who will fill the big hole inside. I want a president who talks about the issues. We're fighting for our lives here! I want a president I can borrow $20 from whenever I want to buy a beer. I want a president who will silence the voices in my head. I want a president who likes the same songs I like and hates the same ones I hate. I want a president who will make it so the 60s never happened. I want a president who will tell my folks I was over at his house studying. I want a president who will keep those damn kids off my lawn. I want a president. I want a president that has a close personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus is in the waiting chair ready, reading a copy of Field and Stream. He says, yeah, me too, pal. I say, climb on up here, Jesus. You're next. What do you want? Jesus says, a little off the top, maybe trim the beard. I mean for president, I say. Jesus says, oh, that. I'm for Carol Moseley Braun, but I'm not holding my breath. I woke up, and my bed was filled with Clubman talcum powder and Allen Ginsberg. That had that Allen Ginsberg feel to it, didn't
sure
it?
Did.
The repetition. Very excited about our guest. Very excited. This dude is the dude that knows the stuff about what terrorism is. He's a journalist and CNN terrorism expert. He has also written the book Holy War Incorporated Inside the Secret World of Osama Bin Laden. He has actually met with Bin Laden, and it's a pleasure to have him on the show. Peter Bergen is here. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So let's talk about Afghanistan. He just came from Afghanistan and Pakistan. Defense Secretary Rumsfeld also just returned from Afghanistan. And here's what he had to say. Let's hear this clip real quick.
It is so clear that the Afghan people are winning the struggle to rebuild this nation, and that is encouraging, and it suggests a very bright future.
Any reflections, thoughts? Is that the same trip you had, Peter?
Well, you know, the conventional wisdom is that the place is going to hell in a handbasket. I must beg to differ. You know, I traveled around the country in a cab, obviously not an American convoy.
Yes.
And the security situation, at least I found it to be reasonably okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's some pretty good polling data coming out of Afghanistan now. 82% of Afghans believe that life is better than it was 2 years ago. Now, admittedly, the Taliban is a low bar, but you know, those numbers are encouraging. Also, Hamid Karzai, the president, is drawing substantial support in every province, including places like Kandahar, where, of course, the Taliban movement was born. And you're also seeing voter registration at unexpectedly high levels, 60% in Kandahar, 45% in Mullah Omar's home province of Oruzgan. So all those things are pretty encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
There are two, you know, big problems. One is the the drug culture. I mean, the drugs account for 40 to 50% of the Afghan economy right now. Who profits from those is a very interesting question. It's not very clear, but obviously that's going forward, that's a major national security problem. And then, of course, also this low disarmament rate of the so-called warlords is also a problem. But
so this is interesting that you're saying that there's some pretty positive news coming out of Afghanistan.
I think there is. You know, one of the arguments for the Iraq war, the sort of neoconservative argument, was that there'd be a democratic domino effect around the Middle East. Well, that didn't happen. But even a partially successful election in Afghanistan, which I think is possible, would send a pretty powerful signal to Afghanistan's neighbors, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, mm-hmm. Iran, Pakistan, none of which are... None of which are representative of democracy. So, I don't want to be Pollyannish about it, but it does seem that there are some reasons to be optimistic.
Peter Bergen, there are 18 people, one of whom, of course, is Hamid Karzai, who now runs Afghanistan, who are apparently slotted to run in the election October 9th. Do you think Karzai wins hands down?
Right now he does, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's genuinely a popular figure, and he's also a Pashtun, and that's important for the sort of ethnic balance. A lot of these people, the 20 people who are running, some of them are barely known. He does have one or two sort of more serious opponents, Ismail Khan, who's a powerful figure in the west of the country, a guy called Kanuni, who was the Interior Ministry, the head of the Interior Ministry. But... right now, Karzai is beating everybody fairly significantly in the polls. So, going forward in April of next year, there's parliamentary elections, which could be a lot more contentious than the presidential election because that's all about local power and local interests. And they were smart to sort of separate the presidential from the parliamentary because everybody says the parliamentary elections might be a little more problematic.
Do they actually campaign? Do warlords campaign? Like, I will produce more opium than anyone.
That's a good platform. This is the first election in Afghan history. Obviously they're sort of feeling their way.
Mm-hmm.
There is the way to communicate with Afghans is via radio, and there are a lot of radio stations popping up and people getting on radio. So, certainly the fact that people are registering at these levels shows that Afghans, want to be part of the process. After all, registering for the elections is in some places rather problematic, and people who have registered for the vote have been killed. So the fact that they're doing it in these high numbers is a very good sign.
Who's killing them? Is that the campaign strategy?
Well, certainly, it's likely the Taliban. I mean, the Taliban have made it very clear that they don't want people to register for votes.
Mm-hmm. Peter Bergen is our guest. He's a journalist and CNN terrorism expert. How serious, Peter, is the search for Osama bin Laden inside Afghanistan?
Well, it's serious, but I don't think he's there. I mean, certainly the U.S. military is engaged in operations against what they term anti-coalition forces. But many of the Taliban are in Pakistan, and basically, if you look at the number of people who've been arrested in Al-Qaeda, the senior leaders, they've all universally been arrested in Pakistan, not in Afghanistan. So it's pretty obvious to me, it seems, that bin Laden's in Pakistan, and as is his number two, Ayman al-Zawahiri.
Uh-huh.
Not so much border crossing, huh?
I don't think bin Laden's moving around. I mean, this is all supposition on my part, but I mean, I think this guy is a sort of extremely disciplined individual who had a plan, and probably shortly after the fall of the Battle of Tora Bora, which is the happened in December of 2001, the last time we actually knew where he was.
Mm-hmm.
He left, and I think he had some sort of exit strategy, and he's not doing the sorts of things that get you caught, like talking on a sat phone or a cell phone or talking on radios.
Right. Well, we're going to talk about whether or not the troops are looking in Pakistan at all and how aggressively the Pakistan military is searching for Al-Qaeda when we come back after this break. Is that okay, Peter?
Sure.
Okay, Mark.
All right, still to come. More with Peter Bergen. Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Rapture Watch, and so much more here on Air America Radio. We'll be right back.
urgent news for people who have taken the acne drug Accutane. Accutane was promoted as a safe way to treat severe acne. 100% of Accutane users will experience adverse side effects if you or your child has experienced liver, kidney, or pancreatic damage, inflammatory bowel disease, diabetes, birth defects, musculoskeletal injuries, psychiatric or cardiovascular problems. Call the Accutane Litigation Group at 1-866-422-2843 to see if you may be entitled to compensation. 1-866-4-ACU-HELP. Now.
I'm worried that there are things that are going to burn me.
I had butterflies. I was anxious.
Open house. That's somebody else's job.
I had to constantly be meeting people.
My mom was always on the phone.
I figured I could sell it on my own to save a little bit of money.
She was just wacko.
I don't even know enough to know that I don't know.
If you're thinking about selling your home, you need some help. Ask your agent if they're a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
For sale by owner, but not by this owner.
A message from your local state and national realtor associations.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. President Bush has apparently turned the corner for the last time. His campaign has decided to strike the phrase from the president's campaign appearances because the Democrats have effectively seized on Bush's words to charge the president is out of touch. Bush had been using various forms of the phrase in campaign stops right after the Democratic convention. Published report says former New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani may be holding out for a cabinet post in the second term of a Bush White House should he have another term. Giuliani, known to many as America's mayor, has become the GOP's pit bull on the candidacy of Democrat John Kerry. Little-known group called People of Color United, with substantial backing from a white business owner in Washington, is bankrolling a number of radio ads for black radio stations in battleground states in which Democrat Kerry is attacked for being white, rich, and wishy-washy. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Hey people, it's Mike Church from Sirius's Talk Central. You know, back in the day, they had this thing called the Monroe Doctrine. Well, now we're going to have this thing called the Church Doctrine. You'll get to hear the Church Doctrine every day on Sirius Right. Bring on John Kerry. Bring on Johnny Beefcake Edwards and whoever the left-wing loony want to bring on. Because I can't be bought and I can't be reasoned with. You can do that when you know you're right.
The Church Doctrine. Cut that out. Weekdays, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern on Conservative Talk Sirius Right 142.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. You're driving me to distraction, he said, to the cell, phone that is. Pay attention, because when I come back, it's the real price of car talk and other diversions behind the wheel.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas. Your body relies on antioxidants to stay healthy. So does your vehicle. Oxidation in fuel and oil creates deposits. That means clogged injectors and sludge in your engine, causing costly breakdowns. Your service shop can reverse oxidation in your vehicle by adding BG's MI 3000 Plus and MOA at your next oil change. Ask your shop about BG products or go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com.
When the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration reports on cell phone interference, they're not dissing your wireless provider. They're warning of how driver distraction contributes to 25% of vehicle crashes. In fact, a recent survey estimates that 60% of all cell phone use occurs behind the wheel, which means dangerous divided concentration. Fellow distractors include making adjustments to vehicle controls and searching for directions. Solution? Integrate smart car technology, like hands-free phones and GPS, to ride the information superhighway without driving into a data ditch. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Good morning, it's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
Morning's edition, Air America Radio, on the phone with Peter Birkin, whose cover story backdraft, how war in Iraq fueled Al-Qaeda and ignited a global jihad, appears in this month's Mother Jones. Peter, we're talking about Pakistan. Are the U.S. troops looking in Pakistan at all for bin Laden now?
No, not really. I mean, it's an issue of Pakistani sovereignty. And there are CIA and FBI in Pakistan. But they're, you know, in an advisory role. It's the Pakistani army that's conducting these operations, or the Pakistani military intelligence agency.
How aggressive are they looking for him?
You know, President Musharraf has just survived two serious assassination attempts, so that tends to concentrate the mind. And he's, I think, personally determined determined to destroy Al-Qaeda and its affiliate groups in Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, it's clear that in these assassination attempts against Musharraf, a number of the people involved were in the military themselves. So that shows the sort of the complexity and ambiguity of the situation. But, you know, we are seeing this recent set of arrests that led to the heightened alert in the United States came about as a result of Pakistani, so I think I give them reasonable.
Pakistani intelligence. But is there any threat of the Pakistani military fusing with Al-Qaeda in some factions, or?
I doubt it. I mean, Musharraf has sort of purged some of the more Islamist elements in the military intelligence agency. I mean, there are certainly indications of sympathizers in the army, but as a sort of matter of, I don't see the army itself becoming kind of part of Al-Qaeda. It's a lot of people, and by the law of averages, you're going to find Al-Qaeda sympathizers. After all, Bin Laden is genuinely popular in Pakistan. Bin Laden is more popular in Pakistan than President Bush is in the United States, according to a recent poll. He had 65% approval ratings in Pakistan.
Incredible. What about the Taliban? Are the Taliban sympathizers in Pakistan, either in government and or the military? Are these the people who are plotting against Musharraf?
Well, the Taliban, you know, is seen by, you know, was supported by the Pakistanis in the first place, and I think there might be more Taliban sympathizers than Al-Qaeda sympathizers. Al-Qaeda is seen as sort of an outside organization, you know, mostly Arabs. Taliban is seen as more an indigenous Pashtun organization. So I think the likelihood of there being more Taliban sympathizers is plausible.
You know, we've been talking a lot here about how the war in Iraq has, you know, increased the number of terrorists and increased the amount of terrorist activity. I mean, you said it in your article. And now we've got a piece of sound from Bush we'd like to listen to with you. Can we hear that, Chris?
The best way to protect the American homeland is to stay on the offense. It is a ridiculous notion to assert that because the United States is on the offense, more people want to hurt us. We're on the offense because people do want to hurt us.
Now, you've met Bin Laden, and according to you, Egyptian President Mubarak predicted the Iraqi occupation would create 100 Bin Ladens. So is it ridiculous? I mean, what's Bush talking about?
Well, I think we can just look at the terrorism figures from 2003 to show that, that there's more terrorism. The largest number of significant acts of terrorism, meaning acts where people get killed, was last year, the biggest number in 20 years. So if indeed there was a correlation between getting rid of Saddam and terrorism going down because Iraq was a source of terrorism, one of the arguments for the war, I mean, that's just not the case. And certainly the Iraq war energized Al-Qaeda and like-minded groups. That's just a fact.
Why is Bush saying this, then?
I don't know. I think he genuinely believes that this is the case, or he's not well informed about these terrorism figures, perhaps. I just don't know.
Let me ask you, Peter, how significant were the diversions of resources away from the hunt for Bin Laden to the Iraq war? Have they really crippled the hunt for Bin Laden?
Well, I think they certainly impaired it at a minimum for about a year and a half. I mean, Washington is I think there's a general principle that, you know, Washington can only handle one big story at a time, one big foreign policy. And we know that, Tommy Franks was asked to revise the Iraq war plan as early as November of 2001. And we know that, special forces were being diverted from Afghanistan to Iraq even before the war started, and also, you know, Arabic speakers of the National Security Agency and also the CIA. So all of that is true. And, I mean, it's a fact that these resources were diverted, and it's a fact that we didn't get him during that period. Now those resources are back on, have been after the capture of Saddam Hussein, a lot of those resources in December of last year, that those resources are now back where they should have been in the first place, looking for Al-Qaeda's leaders.
Okay, Peter Bergen, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk about, you know, which resources you're talking about. Also, I'd like to, you know, characterize the what's the insurgency look like now, and how has terrorism, you know, escalated and why in that region after this break, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, we'll be right back on Air America Radio.
Town. Bigger, bolder, brassier than anything you've ever heard before. They got names. Big names. Riggins, Banks, Reeves, plus a posse of
Sirius 5 24/7. All NFL, all the time. NFL Radio, Sirius 124.
This is your Icicle Insight on the Environment.
Russell Tray, my guest, the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. How has our perspective shifted regarding the environment?
Well, I think at the beginning, nobody knew what the environment was. When I told my parents that I was resigning as a tax court judge to become a full-time environmentalist, they thought two things. One, that I was crazy, and secondly, they didn't know what I meant. Now, that has all changed. We had a huge upsurge of public attention to the environment during my main career period, and now we see, I think, you know, that public excitement has died down. Most polls show that the American public really cares about the environment. However, the priority today is not what it was back in the 70s.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse. I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi, my name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found a need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
Community groups do so much, especially helping to keep kids away from drugs. But do you know there's a way to make community groups stronger? It's called a community coalition. Community coalitions help local groups get together and get more done. Find out how your group can get involved at helpyourcommunity.org. Because you get more when you get together. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
We're talking to Peter Bergen, the author of Holy War Incorporated, Inside the Secret World of Osama Bin Laden. And also, he has the cover story of Mother Jones this month. It's called Backdraft, How War in Iraq Fueled Al-Qaeda and Ignited Global Jihad. Now, Peter, we were talking about resources, the diversion of resources away from the hunt for Bin Laden. What are those resources?
Well, I mean, they're basically three things. One is Arabic speakers in the CIA or National Security Agency. Two is special forces of the kind that was hunting for bin Laden. And three, satellites, which were diverted. So, and also just attention in general from the government. At one point in 2002, President Bush said that, you know, it doesn't really matter about getting bin Laden. He's marginalized. I have to think that that is completely wrong. He continues to influence the what Al-Qaeda does by releasing these audio tapes, which get very wide play. We've seen more than a dozen of these audio tapes since 9/11, and they have consequences. When bin Laden calls for attacks against members of the coalition, they happen. When Ayman al-Zawahiri calls for attacks against Musharraf, he now already survived two assassination attempts. So getting these people is not only important for on the matter of justice, but also because they keep influencing what actually happens in Al-Qaeda and around the world.
So is it safe to say that he says that he's marginalized? He also says that, you know, weapons of mass destruction no longer matter, and that whatever reason we went, it doesn't matter. That, you know, he's basically set on, you know, achieving his goals and restructuring Iraq. And terrorism, it seems to me on some level, he wouldn't mind if it percolated for years and years and years.
Well, I mean, I can't speculate on that.
Right. Well, then how has Al-Qaeda changed since the war in Iraq?
Well, I think that, I guess the way in the article that you mentioned, the Mother Jones article, I looked at a number of benchmarks. It's one thing to say, hey, this the Iraq war was bad for the war on terrorism, but let's look at some numbers. If you look at polling data from around the Muslim world, in places like Jordan, Morocco, Pakistan, all countries which were important in the war on terrorism. Bin Laden's numbers went up as a result of the Iraq war. Also, if you look at election results in the Muslim world, Islamist parties sort of broadly sympathetic to Bin Laden did rather well at the polls in countries like Pakistan, Morocco, and Kuwait, Bahrain. So these seem to be some indicators that the pool of possible recruits sort of expanded. Obviously, if you just because you vote for an Islamist party or you admire Bin Laden doesn't necessarily mean you become a member of Al-Qaeda, but that group of people grew. So I think the group of people who might be persuaded to become part of these terrorist groups grew larger as a result of the Iraq war. And then, as I mentioned earlier in the program, if you look at the U.S. State Department's report on terrorism for last year, the numbers speak for themselves. There were a lot of people killed in terrorist acts,
mm-hmm.
the largest number for more than two decades in significant terrorist acts.
Mm-hmm.
So by all these benchmarks, the Iraq war wasn't helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Bergen, how close is the coalition here to stopping the free flow of terrorists from country to country, whether it be from Pakistan to Afghanistan, in and out of Iraq? Is that a task that cannot be accomplished?
Well, going into Iraq for people, I mean, one of the reasons you're seeing a number of foreign fighters in Iraq, the estimates are somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000, is that it's very easy to go in because of the long borders and the fact that if you're from Saudi Arabia, you blend in pretty well in Iraq. Has Al-Qaeda's ability to move around the world been disrupted since 9/11? No doubt about it. I mean, there have been something like 3,500 arrests or killings of members of Al-Qaeda or affiliate groups since 9/11, and their ability to do spectacular terrorist acts has been, somewhat interrupted. Obviously, there's been no attacks in the United States since 9/11. Despite the fact that they continue trying to do these things. So that's a measure of success.
Right. The U.S. military has floated this idea, this flypaper, that it's helpful that Iraq draws terrorists because now they're on one
place.
Yeah,
that is sort of absurd. I mean, that was the notion that somehow, by fighting them in Baghdad, they won't be bombing Brooklyn. That's a sort of post-facto rationalization of the policy. It certainly wasn't an argument going into the war that we're going to invade Iraq so that we can draw terrorists from around the region to kill our troops. I mean, that would not have flown as an argument with the American people. So
that's that spin. So is it true, though?
Well, I don't think it is true, really. I mean, if you look at the people who are fighting us in Iraq, they are, generally speaking, people in the region, people from Saudi, from Syria, from North Africa. If you look at the people who, since 9/11, have tried to attack the United States, Richard Reid, the so-called shoe bomber, was a British Jamaican. He obviously wasn't going to go fight in Iraq. Jose Padilla, the guy who's supposed to have tried to launch a radiological attack in his country, is a Hispanic American. If you look at the people who were just arrested in Pakistan, who were planning to attack American financial institutions, one of them was a Pakistani computer student who had educated in England. Another one was a Tanzanian. So these people, these people were never going to fight in Iraq, I don't think. I mean, I think Iraq is a sideshow for the leading members of Al-Qaeda who continue wanting to attack the United States directly.
Well, let me ask you something. In my last question is that can we say that George Bush has aided in the metastasization, as you say, of the insurgency, of terrorism globally, and that on some level they probably, like him to be the president because it mobilizes, them like they could never have done it?
There has certainly been discussion on an Al-Qaeda website that re-electing, that Bush's re-election would be good for business. I mean, that's a fact.
Okay.
I do think if Bush had stopped with the Afghan war and found Bin Laden and not done Iraq, we would be in a different situation today. There's no doubt about it.
A better situation.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Peter Bergen. Really appreciate you being here.
Thanks a lot.
That was Peter Bergen, author of Holy War Incorporated, Inside the Secret World of Osama Bin Laden, also the writer, author of the cover story of this month's Mother Jones Backdraft, How War in Iraq Fueled Al-Qaeda and Ignited a Global Jihad. Changing gears, not really. Segueing into this. Since the handover of power, exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face, this is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 45. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, good morning. Yeah, we just talked about you. That's true. Hey, Rocky, it looks like you've got a war going on over there.
Yeah.
I saw it on the news. After they talked about Kobe and Scott Peterson and Trump's bankruptcy and some 600-pound woman in Florida, she actually had to be surgically removed from her couch. Can you believe that, Iraq? I know, right? Old school. But I digress. Your war. Right, right. Thanks for keeping me focused. Notice I said your war. Now, you may see a bunch of our guys shooting at a bunch of your guys and vice versa, but that's not war. Okay, war is over, folks. You get it? We declared victory. It's done. What's happening now is continued unrest by scattered insurgents. What's the difference, you might ask? Bottom line, scattered unrest does not impact our poll numbers. You see, Iraq, Iraq, it's important for your leaders to distance themselves from the unpleasant aspects of the world. Such as that, exactly. Now, you will have a problem distancing yourself from the crisis in Iraq, because, you know, I guess that's obvious, but it can be done. Try having the news lead with something else. It doesn't have to be all Iraq all the time, Iraq. Don't you guys have any water skiing squirrels? We've got tons. We'll send over some file footage. Remember, the war is over. Okay, fine. I'll let you get back to your unrest. Until then, good luck and God bless. This is day 44 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Live free or die. And I guess we'll be right back on Air America Radio. Hey, check us out at morningsedition.com where you can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
Stop whining. That's what head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, told workers who just lost their high-tech jobs to overseas outsourcing. Stop whining. Analysts say this is just the beginning. Millions of more jobs could be lost in the next few years. But it's good for the U.S. economy, according to Donahue. Good for the U.S. economy? Are they kidding? These high-tech jobs were supposed to be the jobs of the future. Jobs with good pay and good benefits. Now, millions are at risk. That's why we, the Communications Workers of America, are doing something about it. We're fighting to end tax breaks that encourage companies to ship our jobs overseas. We're helping tech workers organize so they have strength at the bargaining table when it comes to salary, health care and pension benefits, and working conditions. Learn more at techsunite.org, because America's future is on the line. A message from the Communications Workers of America, the Union for the Information Age, and proud supporter of Air America.
Sirius is at the Newport Jazz Festival. This weekend, we'll bring you America's greatest outdoor jazz party direct from Rhode Island.
One more time.
This year is the 50th anniversary of the festival, and all the biggest stars are coming out to celebrate. Dave Brubeck, Herbie Hancock, Harry Connick Jr., Branford Marsalis, and many more. Don't miss this historic two-day event. It's Sirius, live from the Newport Jazz Festival. This weekend, noon Eastern, on Pure Jazz 72.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. And you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! That's the battle cry of the lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad, please!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from
the cat.
Oh, and the neighbor's new car.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop!
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
There's a resort called Give Kids the World, where children with life-threatening illnesses can fill their week with pure joy. Kids and their families indulge in simple pleasures like swimming, visiting local Orlando theme parks, and eating unlimited ice cream, all for free. Call 800-995-KIDS or visit the Give Kids the World website at gktw.org and help give them a time to remember. Brought to you by Give Kids the World and the Ad Council.
Good morning. Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. It's Mark and Mark, Riley and Marin, that is.
5 years?
Yeah. Hey, man, this music gets me all juiced up.
Yeah, baby.
I don't want to get into it. I'm not full of the bully juice like our president, but, you know, it gets me... back in the day, Riley.
Yep.
That music is about the end of my back in the day days. if you know what I'm saying. Now. All right, here we go. The Bible's book of Revelations portends the end of days and the second coming of the Christian Messiah, one of our president's favorite stories. Though no one knows when the end times will come, there are signs that will appear to men. Here on Morning Sedition, we won't let you be caught off guard by the end of the world. That's why we present Rapture Watch. Take heed, hedonizers, gluttons, self-pleasurers, and coveters of other people's women, folk, and knickknacks. Today we are closer than we've ever been to the end times. According to scientists at the Royal Institution in Britain, natural disasters like giant tsunamis, supervolcanoes, and earthquakes now pose a greater threat than anyone previously thought, even greater than the Masons. For it clearly states in Revelation 36:24-36, hubba, quote, if therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee, end quote. Now, aside from the obviously disturbing homoerotic subtext of this prophecy, it's clearly referring to global environmental catastrophes. These global geophysical events, or GGs, as researchers nickname them, are a clear sign that you'd better start preparing for heaven, or in the case of Episcopalians, the bottom five levels of hell. Even more eerie is how much GGs sounds like BGs, which by most accounts was the third sign of the apocalypse, the fourth being when they got on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine. Man, I thought the world was going to end that day. Then I realized it was just emotion taking me over, tied up in sorrow, lost in my soul. Crap, it's happening again. I'm falling captive to the Antichrist hypnotic words and syrupy string arrangements. Sure, I was young. I knew back then the only way I could rid myself of the sins of those demons was to bathe in the blood of Jesus Christ in the Lord's house. Turns out I was at Studio 54, not the Lord's house, and whatever I was bathed in certainly wasn't the blood of Christ, but that's a different story. Anyway, you get the message, heathens. Join a church, pack up your crap, and wait for the waves to come. Until next time, keep sinning, sinners, and we'll keep watching the rapture for you. May God have mercy on us all. This has been Rapture Watch. A Morning Sedition. Deep. I just sang some Bee Gees.
Yeah, you sure did. And talked about Studio 54, too.
That's your back in the day.
Well, not really. I went there once or twice.
Oh.
No, I was a little more underground than Studio 54,
oh,
pal.
That's hilarious. That's too mainstream. I was there at the beginning, but after that, it got really bad.
No.
The Jersey people came.
No, I wasn't even there at the beginning. I was at an underground place where, you know, people from Studio 54 didn't really hang there.
Where people would just, you know, Halston would just lay down and people would do blow off his nipples.
Yeah, that too.
Speaking of nipples, more than two dozen mothers staged a breastfeeding nurse-in at a Starbucks corporate store in Maryland. Dig that. Over the weekend, this was, in an effort to get the world's largest coffee shop chain to adopt a policy allowing breastfeeding in all U.S. stores.
You got video footage?
Listen to you.
I just thought I'd ask.
It's so weird when, you know, I think it's a beautiful, it's a natural thing. I hear it's kind of painful to some women.
Yeah.
To some women, it feels good. But any way you slice it, it's got to be weird.
And why would you, I understand you have they have the rules and regulations, but why would you want to do it there?
I think that they should be able to do it anywhere, and apparently there's a law in Maryland that enables them to do it.
There's a law that
says you can breastfeed in public. They wrote to the head of Starbucks, and he's changing the policy, and that's why they did it. My friend Sam's wife, Caridwin, just had a baby, and she started breastfeeding in the middle of a conversation. It's just weird because, you know, you just keep talking, but, you know.
Your eyes suddenly.
Yes, they do. You just got to. They do.
Yeah,
but you got to act like nothing's going on because it's completely natural. Where part of you wants to go, whoa, you're just going to do that right here? That's tremendous.
Hmm.
You don't want to say that, though. That would cause friction between me and Sam, and it would make Caridwin uncomfortable, and who knows the effect it would have on the kid.
You were going to applaud, though, weren't you?
Well, no, I just kind of...
When she was done, you were going to applaud.
It's kind of touching. As I get older, I'm not as much of a perv as I used to be.
Coming up in the next hour of Morning Sedition, former Clinton Labor Secretary Robert Reich, the Presidential Daily Briefing, the Presidential Palm Pilot, and more here on Air America Radio.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite fresh.
Satellite fresh.
Serious. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
The mission may have been accomplished for President Bush 1 year and 5 months ago in his famous declaration to board an aircraft carrier in the Middle East, but from all indications this morning, the warring continues in Iraq as a fragile interim government tries to stabilize what seems to be an impossible situation. Thousands of American troops were deployed in the holy city of Najaf to flush out elements loyal to radical Muslim cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. American forces were deployed despite efforts to train Iraqi soldiers to put down a week-long uprising by the Muslim insurgents. President continues to suffer criticism for saying one thing about the conditions in Iraq, while the government's actions dictate another.
I know what I'm doing when it comes to winning this war. And I'm not going to be sending mixed signals.
President George W. Bush at a recent campaign stop. Speaking of mixed signals, CNN reports this morning the president's campaign has decided that use of the term turned the corner is no longer working for him. Democrats have seized on it, effectively making Bush seem to be out of touch with the American people. The president had been using the phrase shortly after the Democratic National Convention in various campaign stops in various forms, but escalating violence in Iraq and Afghanistan, the stagnation of the nation's employment market, the rise in energy prices, and the soft patch in the economy have American voters questioning Bush's turning the corner. Even his political rival John Kerry says it's more like a U-turn and not an appreciable change in direction. Administration officials yesterday denied that President Bush is considering a national sales tax a day after the Republican incumbent created a stir by calling such a tax an interesting idea that we ought to explore seriously. Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry seized on Bush's comments made while the president was campaigning in Florida on Tuesday and suggested such a plan would create a new tax on working families. Published report says former New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani may be holding out for a cabinet post in the second term of a Bush White House should he have another term. Giuliani, known to many as America's mayor, has become the GOP's pit bull on the candidacy of Democrat John Kerry. A cabinet position may be the party's reward for Giuliani. Some 86 Dominican migrants aboard a wooden boat seeking better life in nearby Puerto Rico paint a picture of a horrendous voyage of murder, starvation, and sharks. Only 39 migrants survived their voyage in the last 2 weeks. And while the discussion of the 9/11 Commission's recommendations continues to be a focus of congressional hearings, a report says the prominence of the commission has given to vastly improve how America is perceived in the Islamic world is lost in the debate. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
It's time to yell at your boss. Not for all those extra hours he's making you work, or that you're totally underappreciated and underpaid, but because you're tired of listening to the same 10 songs from Light FM over and over again in the workplace. Tell him to get the Sirius Business Plan. For only $24.95 a month, you get a 500,000 tunes, royalties included. You already love Sirius. Enjoy it all day long. Details at Sirius.com under business subscriptions or call 888-539-SIRIUS.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Last week, I made heavenly matches between my favorite cars and your sun signs. When I come back, the final two carscopes, Aquarius and Pisces. In today's world of discord and disappointment, One thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly Clark.
Here are car scopes for Aquarius and Pisces. Aquarius, water bearers kick conventional wisdom to the curb and groove on Lexus's RX400H, causing tidal waves of excitement. This SUV, a full hybrid that morphs from gas or electric-only mode to a combo of both, fascinates freedom-loving Aquarians, and its zero-emissions design appeals to their inner flower child. Pisces, fishes, the world's your oyster as you swim out of those scales and behind the tortoise-shell steering wheel of Chrysler's 300C. But unlike Pisces, this car has generous leg and trunk room, and the hands-free Uconnect voice-activated cell phone will really come in handy. Oh, and can you say Hemi? I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Okay, go ahead.
I have something very
sound it out.
Important.
Good.
To talk to dads about reading with your children. Most kids want to read. If you spend even a little time with them every night, it will help a lot. It will help most. What's this word?
Take each letter at a time.
Motivate.
Good job.
What's it mean?
No, it means to encourage or, you know, help someone do something better.
Help motivate them to try harder, which can help them become better readers, even faster.
Excellent.
When kids read better, it builds their confidence, and that can make a big difference in a kid's life while they grow up.
You're getting really good.
Thanks, Dad.
Keep going.
Reading with
For more ideas on how to be a better dad, call 1-800-790-DADS. This has been a message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
All right, what do you want to read next?
I'm Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Yeah, here we go. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, victims of all sorts, haters, lovers, and anyone named Joey. How about this?
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Exactly. You do approve that message. That's what you do. That's all there. I saw that dude, John O'Neill, on CNN last night talking it up about the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth and his 250 signatures. Saying that John Kerry is, you know, a bad guy, that John Kerry, you know, it's just, the guy has been around since the early 70s, you know, slandering Kerry on the behest of the Nixon administration initially, and now he's running around. I mean, okay, so if he's going to say all these guys served with John Kerry, they weren't on the boat with him.
Yeah, well, they'd need a cruise ship. 250 people?
But how many veterans were there in the Vietnam War altogether? So he's saying, like, I've got 250 signatures. Well, yeah, well, if you're going to work that sort of angle, how many millions of people were there, to, you know, in the first place? It's just, I just don't know how they can sit there and do that. How can they just sit there and, you know, without, you know, conscience, you know, slander the guy?
15 minutes of fame?
No, it's devious. It's
35 years of fame?
Right, but the most telling one, I'm glad that there's a little more honesty coming out in the advertising, because we've got the second installment of the Swift Boat ad campaign, which I think really, you know, gets to the core of what's really being said. Can we hear that?
If you have any question about what John Kerry's made of, just spend 3 minutes with the men who served with him.
John Kerry? He bad.
John Kerry bad. I don't like him.
John Kerry bad.
John Kerry loses.
Me don't like John Kerry.
He not good.
John Kerry's my poop. Fire truck.
John Kerry not good.
Kerry no good.
Bad.
I don't like John Kerry.
John Kerry took my shoe.
Swift Book Veterans for Truth is responsible for the content of this
advertisement. I know it's going to wear off eventually, but it's not yet.
I don't think so. Maybe November 3rd.
Why aren't they talking about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here. I'm sure that'll wear up, too, and I already got one email. Dude, enough of it already. You know, enough of you. I can't stand this, like, you know, weird kind of nitpicky, self-righteous, self-centered, liberal email.
Well, you know, the folks, you know, radio is an intimate medium. People feel that they're connected directly.
We aren't directly connected.
I know. We've got computers.
There's a little segment I'd like to do. I'd like to reach out to all the people who are just so irritated and angry at just the tenor of my voice. I just want to say to them, good morning. Good morning, Mark Hades. How's this feel? Welcome aboard, dummy. Woo! Man, I love this medium. Hey, so what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, I'm going to be on Tough Crowd tonight.
Yeah.
So that means I got to leave here. I did the job last night, which I shouldn't have done. I should have went to sleep, so I'm tired. And then after this, I got to go, you know, put together my stuff for Tough Crowd so I can, like, you know, come out of the gate swinging. It's going to be good.
Literally?
Me, Dom Irrera, Artie Lang, Judy Gold.
Do you have to stand up again? I mean, are they making you stand up?
Oh, man, I don't know. I just remember that. I hope not. It feels awkward, man. I don't know why they're making us stand up. It's like, to me, it's queer. You're watching TV. The first question would be, why are they standing up? Where are the chairs? Why can't they just sit down? He seems to think it makes people more lively. It makes me a little too intense. You know what I mean? I'd rather sit down because I'm kind of an intense guy anyways.
Well, let's sketch out your day here. You're not going to have a chance to rest before you go do this show.
No, I will.
You will?
I'm going to try and crash out for 2 hours. After this show, I'm going to go work on the topic, see what they got going, work on my Act 4 piece, and then hopefully I'll take a nap. And then I'll go do that show, and then tomorrow, vacation!
Tomorrow's Friday.
Vacation!
Somebody's leaving a day early. One member of our staff is leaving a day early.
Brendan is exhausted, dude.
Oh, is that what it is?
Larson's back all chipper, laying back in his chair like, I had jury duty for 2 days. I got to deliberate about poop, you know? And we're all exhausted, and Larson comes in here all chipper like, everybody okay? Get out! Yeah. Get out, Mr. Rested! But Brendan, who's been working, you know, double time, is
coming in here at 1:30 every night or something. I don't know what
it was funny because he was like, I'm going. I'm going.
I'm out.
And Pashman apparently doesn't need to sleep ever. Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman in New Jersey. You get in, like, no matter how negative you are, he's like, what's up? What? We're going to do good today. It's going to be great. Springsteen is playing. You know? I think that's what Bashman does. Whenever there's a doubt in his mind about hope or despair, he just pops a picture of Bruce into his head and bam! Bashman's pic should be up on the morningsedition.com. He's our editorial producer, sorting through the facts and.
You know, he sorts through facts for the entire network. I didn't know that until like a month and a half after we started this. That Dan Pashman doesn't just do this for us; he circulates this stuff to the entire network.
Dan Pashman is somewhat of the spiritual fuel of Air America. The unsung spiritual fuel of Air America Radio is the spirit of Dan Pashman, the undaunted, you know, positive spinning spirit of Dan. Pashman. Someday we'll discuss the Pashman line.
Yes.
Like, a lot of people don't understand the Pashman line. See, sometimes you'll be talking and we'll all be chatting about something, like something kind of topical and kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
And Pashman's the guy that always takes the joke one step too far to where everyone's laughing and all of a sudden you go, oh, man, there's the Pashman line. I'll try and make some examples of that. I guess we can talk about Najaf now, should we? I mean, we're fighting for our lives.
Well, yeah, and there are thousands of U.S. troops and Iraqi soldiers, but you notice that the copy puts the Americans first. That's because there are more of them than there are Iraqi soldiers. I don't want to say that the Iraqis called in sick, but there were an awful lot. I mean, this was originally supposed to be an Iraq-led action against Muqtada al-Sadr.
Right. But they're all like, you know, hey, you know, we do that, but when you guys leave, he's still going to be here.
Yeah.
We're still going to be here.
Yeah, we have no confidence you're going to be able to capture or kill him. 5 civilians have been killed. This is by Thursday afternoon, which, of course, it is now over there. And this is according to a health worker in Najaf. 2 soldiers injured when hit by a mortar shell. It looks as though we are going to get involved in yet another situation that angers the Shiite majority in Iraq. Now, here's the interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
al-Sadr is not the most popular Shiite cleric in Iraq. That designation goes to Sistani.
The most outspoken, though.
Yeah, he's outspoken, and he's one of these guys who has a specific pitch to the poor.
Right.
Okay, he gets the poor, the disenfranchised, the disaffected. That's his audience.
Right.
Okay? And now, by, again, conducting yet another offensive, which, you know, the last time they tried this, it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
They had to sit down and work out a truce with the guy, who, by the way, they have an arrest warrant for murder for.
Right.
All right? But the bottom line here is, now you bring in, as you've pointed out in the past, you bring in the moderates, you bring in other people who are upset, not so much that you have a, you know, that they love al-Sadr, but they have a problem with you going after him and, you know, blowing up everything in your path as you do it.
Right. He's sort of like he's a populist in a way, and they can't, I have to assume they're not going to kill him because that would just raise the ire of the people that he represents, which I have to assume are a tremendous number of people, the poor, the disenfranchised, the people that are deep believers. You know, I guess Sistani's being fairly political and diplomatic because he wants to integrate himself into the new parliamentary government.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy Sadr, I think he really sees himself as having nothing to lose, as speaking the truth for a certain element in the Iraqi populace. And if they kill him, it's going to be quite a mess, I think.
And it can even be more of a mess, Mark, if there is any desecration of the Imam Ali Shrine, which is the holy shrine in Najaf.
Uh-huh.
And the Americans are now saying that Iyad Alawi would have to give permission for any operation at the shrine.
Yeah.
But that doesn't count for accidents.
Right.
That doesn't count for a mortar that lands in the wrong place. That doesn't doesn't count the possibility that somebody on the coalition side, and I'm talking about the Americans and the Iraqis now, make some kind of mistake that ends up hurting or desecrating something in the shrine or hurting people who may be inside the shrine.
Right.
And now you have, again, a full-blown insurrection on your hands.
Yeah.
And it's an insurrection.
As opposed to the half-blown insurrection we have
the
now.
The half-blown insurrection that we have now.
Right.
And, you know, we're talking about, by the way, all through these actions, literally hundreds of people getting killed. We don't hear that much about, you know, Iraqi civilians dying. We don't hear about, you know, women and children
being.
Yeah. And again, these are not combatants we're talking about here.
Yeah.
We're talking about just plain folks, people who wanted their electricity on, people who want to be able to send their kids to school, people who wanted to have the hope of a job.
Yeah.
And now they're dead or wounded. And whether rightly or wrongly, these just plain Iraqi folks blame the Americans for this.
Sure.
They say, look, yeah, we may have a problem with al-Sadr. We may have a problem with all of this foolishness that's going on
here.
But
he's our problem.
Well, but their thing is, if you weren't here, we wouldn't have to deal with the immediacy of the problem the same way.
Right, and also I think the social dialogue would be different, how they would integrate into the government that's being formed there and the new government. I mean, it would all be different if the Americans weren't there. But one thing we know for sure is that the Americans are leading this attack, and the Iraqis are following suit, you know, probably a little hesitantly.
Yeah, and that is going to put the U.S. stamp on this particular action. And if it doesn't succeed in either ending the insurgency on the part of the Mehdi army or capturing al-Sadr, what will the purpose have been?
Exactly. We're going to come back in a minute with Robert Reich, who's going to talk about the issues on Air America Radio.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Before shock jock.
All right, enough about that. Tell me about your pants.
Before morning zoo.
It's 7:20 on the Big Boss Hour. That's right, we're stuck to stuck.
Before liberal and conservative talk.
Tree hugger.
Warmonger.
There was a golden age of radio, and Sirius Radio Classics recreates that era with shows from the original comedy greats like Abbott and Costello, Jack Benny, Bob Hope, Burns and Allen, plus old radio serials like Dragnet and The Lone Ranger. Travel back to the real glory days. Sirius Radio Classics. 133.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
The author of a new book called Where Have I Gone Right? The Right Mountain Guide to Getting the Job and Life You Want is Jim Hayhurst. You have to choose between often the reality of the rent that's due on the first of the month,
yes,
and your desire to just ignore that and go for the brass ring.
There is a reality that happens, and if you are, if you have to make the rent due at the end of the month, it is pretty darn difficult to change your careers dramatically. And those that have done it tend to have saved up some money and given themselves a little breathing space. There was some research done in New York that said that the average length of time out of work had gone from 13 weeks to 18 weeks over the last 4 years. So if you want to make a significant change, you certainly have to count on, 4 or 5 months. To change jobs.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Immunizations prevent children from getting dangerous diseases like measles, polio, and mumps. But too many children aren't getting the immunizations they need. Parents can protect their children against 10 preventable childhood diseases in about 6 visits to the doctor, and most of them should happen before the child's 2 years old. So don't wait, vaccinate. For more information, call 1-800-232-2522. 1-800-232-2522.
Hey, we're back. It's Mark Maron here on Morning's Edition with my friend Mark Riley.
Hi.
We've been here all morning talking about the issues. Now I'm going to start switching the voice. Like, why don't they talk about the issues? We are fighting for our lives here. Right now, I got it from Ramon a couple hours ago. Here's a presidential palm pilot downloaded today. Here's his schedule. 9 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. We're in Iraq, but we're not in Iraq. Mm-hmm. 10 a.m. arrive in Las Vegas. Remember, what happens here stays here. Note, find out what happens here. 11 a.m. speak to the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners Conference, Las Vegas. Tell them Kerry is pro-dry rot. 2 p.m. watch Dancing Water Fountain in front of Bellagio Hotel. The water moves in time to the music. It's like magic. 3.05 p.m., Secret Service drags me away from Dancing Waters. It's 1 hour and 5 minutes. 4 p.m., go to Circus Casino. Put some money down on Kerry to win. Now, I can't lose. 6.05 p.m., arrive at fundraising dinner in Santa Monica, California. 6.06 p.m., take the money. 6.07 p.m., and run. 6.08 p.m., board plane to leave. A golden state indeed. 11 p.m., bedtime. Spread California cash on the bed. Roll around in it until sleep comes. Go away, Laura. This doesn't concern you. Sweet. All right, let's talk about this real quick. The gap between the rich and the poor in the U.S. and median pay for this for a CEO in the U.S. in the United States is up 9% in 2002, 15% in 2003, up 22% among top execs at larger companies. This is a survey done in 2004. Unbelievable. The U.S. has the largest income gap between rich and poor of any major nation except Brazil. And yeah. South America. That's actually a country and a nation. Isn't it a nation or a country? But
no, that's one of the two.
Right, there too. Okay, there you go. But South Africa. See, that's what I was saying. I'm like, Brazil and South America. Wait a minute. Isn't one of those a country and the other one? So it's Brazil and South Africa. Apologize. Share of income going to 0.1% of American families quadrupled between 1970 and 1998, leaving the 13,000 richest families with almost as much income as the 20 million poorest families. Dig this one, though. Bill Gates, America's richest individual, alone has more wealth than 40% of the U.S. population combined, or 120 million people. Wow. Dig that.
Does that mean the rich are smarter than the rest of us?
Now, I'm not even going to get into that, but no.
Okay.
It does not. Clearly doesn't mean that.
I just want to make sure.
No, that's one of those weird sociobiology, evolutionary kind of conversations we could have with Larson. He would bring Pinker into it, and then we'd really get to the bottom of adaptation. But we're not going to do that. We're going to stick with the numbers because we got the former labor secretary during Bill Clinton's first term. He's a professor of social and economic policy at Brandeis University. His book, Reason, which I enjoyed and I recommend, Why Liberals Will Win the Battle for America, is out, and you can get it at airamericaradio.com for a discount. Please welcome Robert Reich to the show. Good morning, Robert.
Well, good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
How are you?
There is class warfare in this country, but it's Republican conservatives who have declared it.
Right. Right.
I mean, you take all of the reality you just talked about.
Yes.
The rich getting richer. The biggest gap between the top 1% and everybody else we've seen in this country since the 1880s and 1890s, the time of the robber barons, the biggest gap. And what does the Bush administration do? It gives a huge tax break, most of which go to people who are earning over $200,000 a year.
So it's safe to say that this administration has made it much, much worse.
It's made it much worse. Of course it's made it much worse. And you'd only say it's not only an income tax break, it's also a capital gains tax break, it's also the inheritance estate tax, which they call a death tax, and they persuaded most Americans that they have to pay it when they die. Obviously, it only affects people who are, again, earning and have accumulated huge amounts of wealth, and they're getting rid of it. They're phasing it out.
What are these CEOs?
And at the same time, let me just say one more thing, Mark, because you hit on an issue that I feel, let me not hesitate to say, strongly about.
Mm-hmm.
We are cutting social programs for the middle class and for the poor, cutting schools, cutting everything, and we are rewarding huge tax breaks to the people at the top. And right now, the Bush administration and George W. Bush wants to extend all of these tax breaks for the rich into infinity.
Robert, why don't we just go declare yourself president already? Could you just go do that?
Well, you know,
or at least a senator from Massachusetts.
This is a big deal. And John Edwards talked about it a little bit during the primary, the two Americas.
Yeah.
The people who are at the top and everybody else. But this is a huge thing. It's undermining our democracy. It's creating cynicism among a lot of people. The average middle class worker is not getting ahead.
What legislation would help narrow the gap then?
Well, for example, I mean, this is just a simple no-brainer.
Yeah.
You want to exempt the first $15,000 of income from the payroll tax.
Right.
And raise the ceiling on that payroll tax, particularly the Social Security portion of the payroll tax, to as high as it'll go. You know, right now, if you're earning over $88,000 a year, you don't pay any Social Security payroll tax on any dollar above $88,000.
Not fair.
Of course it's not fair. But listen, if everybody was exempt from the first $15,000 of income, then everybody would have a very progressive tax cut.
Mm-hmm. Robert Reich, how do you see this administration being able politically to convince middle-class taxpayers who are not generally the beneficiaries of these cuts that these cuts make sense for them? I don't understand.
Well, they've said it over and over again, and even Ronald Reagan during the Reagan administration said it when the situation was nowhere near as bad as it is today in terms of the gap between rich and poor. But what they say is that, well, we want to stimulate the economy, and if you give the rich a big tax break, they will turn around and they will spend it, and that will create more jobs. Well, that's just patently stupid and wrong.
So they hypnotize them in a way.
Well, it's like George Orwell. You say it over and over again. You know, the rich do not spend the extra income they get from a tax break. The definition of being rich is you already spend as much as you want. That is what being rich means. You don't need a tax break. You're not going to spend more.
Why, how come in other countries this disparity is so much less pronounced?
Well, first of all, they have much more progressive income taxes in most advanced industrial countries, most post-industrial countries, much more advanced and much more progressive income taxes. And secondly, they have many more social services. Now, a conservative Republican would say, aha, but they don't grow as fast as the United States. Well, what we ought to be saying back is the growth is not the issue. It's how middle class, average working people are living. It's not, you know, who cares how fast the economy grows if most of that growth and most of the benefits of the growth go to people who are earning $1 million, $2 million, $3 million a year?
So, like, when we come back in a second, Secretary, can we go into this thing that Bush dropped yesterday, this national sales tax, and why he was so quickly, told to take it back in so many words?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk to you in just a second after this.
All right. We've got more with Secretary Robert Reich, the Presidential Daily Briefing, the Liberal Agenda, and you on the phones here on Air America Radio.
Wouldn't it be great if some things were more convenient, like income tax preparation?
Please select to the second window for your refund.
Unfortunately, not everything can be convenient, but Radio Shack is. With over 7,000 stores, there's probably one in your neighborhood where you'll find the helpful service you want, plus the latest electronics, accessories, wireless phones, and gift ideas. So even though we'd all like a little more convenience...
Yeah, I'm here to take your driver's license photo.
It's nice to know Radio Shack really offers it. Radio Shack, you've got questions, we've got answers.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. If you love your lungs, then purify the air in your home with the same technology used in our U.S. submarine fleet, the same advanced technology that's in my Orrick tabletop air purifier. I call my air machine a lung saver. You'll call it a miracle. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and breathe easier with the best air purifier you can buy.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The fighting is now underway between thousands of U.S. and Iraqi troops and militant insurgents loyal to Muqtada al-Sadr. The two sides are in a battle for control of the Iraqi holy city of Najaf. At least 5 civilians have been killed, 2 American soldiers wounded. FDA is now using the war on terrorism as one reason why Americans should steer clear of purchasing drug imports from Canada and other countries to cut down on their medical expenses. FDA has been under pressure to ease restrictions. Forget about those controversial anti-Kerry Swift boat ads. There's a new Republican-sponsored group taking aim at black audiences from black radio stations in key battleground states, attacking Kerry for being white, rich, and what they say wishy-washy. Group is also attacking Kerry's wife for having African roots. And a state of emergency has been declared in Florida. Residents there have been warned to prepare for the worst, as 2 powerful tropical storms are expected to do tremendous damage. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Something new's just come to town. Bigger, bolder, brassier than anything you've ever heard before. They got names, big names. Riggins, Banks, Reeves, plus a posse of pros. And they're bringing the big guns of the NFL to Sirius. Live 24/7. All NFL, all the time. NFL Radio. Sirius 124.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Janet, a single mom, wants to buy a home. I give her a plan to do so after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
So how does a single mom buy a home?
I need to get myself on some type of a budget so that I can buy a house. I'm a single mother.
What do you make a year?
$15,000.
What I would do is 2 things towards being able to save some money. And you need to build an emergency fund first and then a down payment. So you're a ways from buying a home. You need to rent something very, very cheap. And anything we cannot pay out in rent is going to be towards the savings. So short term, then, we need to probably pick up part-time jobs, which is difficult with a baby. Again, it's not a great idea to work 60, 70 hours a week when you got a baby at home. I understand. There's just no magic pill that's going to make $15,000 jump into $10,000 into a savings account. Got to do is we got to get the income up short term and long term. Now, the answer long term is easier but harder, and that is education. You've got to start reading like crazy. You need to read a nonfiction book a month on something that you want to get into, something that you want to make yourself an expert on.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
We're doing it. It's morning's edition. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
On Air America Radio, we're talking to former Labor Secretary Robert Reich, one of our favorite guests. Secretary Reich, so tell me about this national sales tax. Good idea, bad idea?
Well, obviously, it's a lousy idea because it's a regressive tax. Every time you add additional sales taxes, it means that average working people and poor people have got to pay a larger proportion of their income in taxes than rich people. You know, rich people, a sales tax is a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of a rich person's income. But a sales tax can be a huge fraction of the income of an average working piece person or a poor person. And that's why sales taxes are so regressive. And that's why Republicans love sales taxes. They don't like progressive income taxes.
Why do you think it was, Mr. Secretary, that the president kind of, mentioned this and said it would be a good idea to study, and then suddenly his people are backing off it so swiftly? Because
middle class in this country is catching on. They're already taxed to death. Particularly in terms of sales taxes and special fees and property taxes and everything else. And they said, oh, wait a minute. The president is talking about a tax increase. The president's talking about another sales tax. Wait a minute.
Well, thank God they can see past all this.
Well, they're beginning to. As I travel around the country, people are beginning to say, what economic recovery is this? What kind of economic recovery? 32,000 jobs added when we need 125,000 jobs just to keep up with keep up with population growth.
He says there's more work to do.
Yeah.
There's just no jobs to do it. Now, why are people in this country so adverse to the type of progressive social programs that enable European corporations to bridge this gap a little bit?
Well, I don't think people are adverse. People around this country, do you think top executives ought to be paid 500 times what average working people are paid and be allowed to ship jobs abroad and get a raise every time they ship more jobs abroad? Do you know the reaction you get?
It's horrible.
Well, of course, people say that's terrible.
Yeah.
And what Democrats ought to be doing is talking more about this.
I just think sometimes, like, even with Cheney and his connection with Halliburton and the crimes that they've committed on some level, that people, I think some people actually believe, well, they worked for it, maybe that's their reward. You don't think so?
No, I don't. You know, there's a mythology that conservative Republicans have been espousing, which is that people don't really worry about top executives making so much money because everybody wants to be a top executive. Well, I'll tell you something. It used to be when, at the start of the Clinton administration, the top executives of this country were making about 90 times more than the average worker. Now we're up to 500 times the average worker. I mean, these executive salaries have got completely out of control. And meanwhile, average working people have actually seen a decline in their incomes because if you adjust for inflation, wages are actually on a downward scale.
A lot of people blame, there's this constant dialogue about outsourcing. And we talked about it a little bit before. You see it as an inevitability, but a lot of Americans are very...
Well, I don't see it as an inevitability. I think we ought to take away the tax breaks that enable companies to do that. That's what John Kerry is saying. We don't want to encourage companies to do it. We want to discourage companies from doing it. The problem is that whether it's outsourcing or just cutting jobs and substituting technology, every time a top executive does it, his salary and wages go way up. His benefits go way up. His stock options go way up. These guys have an incentive, and they're all guys, by the way, almost all of the guys. They have an incentive for cutting jobs. And one of the reasons we're having almost no job growth, in fact, we're actually behind the eight ball, we have fewer jobs now than we did at the start of the Bush administration, is that the incentives are completely in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get more money if you're a top executive if you whack your workforce.
Now, Mr. Secretary, isn't there a bit of a danger when you start talking about CEO pay? And I say that because usually when you watch any of these chat shows and they talk about the economy and they start talking about the gap between rich and poor, the first thing a lot of people who may not even themselves be that rich, they start talking about class warfare. You're fomenting class warfare.
Well, they are fomenting class warfare. The Republicans, the conservatives, they are the ones who declared class warfare. They're the ones who gave the rich. And I'm talking about people who are earning over $200,000 a year. They're the ones who gave them a huge tax break, and the more you have earned, the bigger your tax break. You know, Vice President Cheney got $300,000 back on his income taxes last year. I mean, how much did you get back?
Not that much.
I don't think you got back that much.
So we got to
so they've declared class warfare. I mean, what we ought to be seriously talking about in this country, we already have a minimum wage. We ought to seriously be talking about a maximum wage.
Right.
Important.
And what about shareholder responsibility? That needs to be dealt with as well, doesn't
shareholders
it?
Shareholders don't know anything that's going on. I mean, talk to most shareholders, and they are lucky if they even get a, you know, they'll get a statement from their mutual fund. They have no idea what the companies are doing, that they have income in. That they have no say over executive salaries.
Oh, okay. And Kerry's going to take some action against these corporations that outsource and tax them differently,
well, Kerry is certainly going to, he's going to reduce the tax incentives. Right now, if you're a big corporation and a CEO, you have every incentive to ship jobs abroad because they're tax benefits. All of your foreign earnings can be deferred, the taxes on those earnings can be deferred forever. You never have to repatriate, that is, bring those earnings home. And that's a tremendous incentive to send jobs abroad. So what we want to do is end that incentive.
Terrific. Thank you so much, Secretary Rice. Always
okay,
appreciate
Mark,
it.
Okay, Mark, you take care.
All right,
keep
you
it
take
up.
Care.
Okay, we'll be back in a second here on Air America Radio with your calls, 866-303-2270. Sorry, buddy. Yeah, 866-303-2270. Call us. Want to add your 2 cents? Give us a call at 866-303-2270 and give us your best shot.
Sirius is at the Newport Jazz Festival. This weekend, we'll bring you America's greatest outdoor jazz party direct from Rhode Island.
One more time.
This year is the 50th anniversary of the festival, and all the biggest stars are coming out to celebrate. Dave Brubeck, Herbie Hancock, Harry Connick Jr., Branford Marsalis, and many more. Don't miss this historic 2-day event. It's Sirius, live from the Newport Jazz Festival, this weekend, noon Eastern, on Pure Jazz 72.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
David DeBato, re-upped for military service, was rejected again, and then found a slot in Army Counterintelligence, where he has been serving as a special agent. Are you able to distinguish that there are many of us who have strong support for you and who feel that in many respects you were put in harm's way on a misguided mission?
First of all, I think that the men and women that are serving over there absolutely know why they're there. From what I have seen, they do not feel that they've been lied to. That's just the overwhelming sentiment over there. And again, that's coming from someone that's been over there and has just come back from over there. I also think that, you know, they're a pretty wise group of folks. They do realize, and they can separate out, that the people that may disagree with the administration's policy, the reason why they were sent over to Iraq, can appreciate that they may be against the policy, but yet support the troops.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Our young people need us now more than ever.
Everyone's popping pills and smoking grass.
Sure, they look up to our superstars, but what they really want is the time and energy of caring adults who make a difference in their lives. A personal hero. You can be that hero. Get involved and help keep our young people drug-free. Your time is their future.
He's not on drugs. He's just weird.
To learn more, call 1-800-729-6686. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
All right, you 4 years old son, ready for the big leagues. Put your pad on, buddy. There you go, helmet.
Silly head.
Okay, that's right, your thigh guards. Now don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first game. Well, they're baby teeth, but yeah, put it in it.
Daddy.
Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy. Run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Ah, you should have straight-armed them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
All those records, Pavement, right? I had, like, there was that period where, like, Pavement was it, man. And I had all the Pavements. And you know what? If you take all the Pavement records and put them alongside each other, it sounds like one long record.
They weren't that big in the ghetto. I just want you to know that.
I got to be honest with you. They weren't that big anywhere. 866-303-2270. 866-303-2270 is their number. But they were a great band, and I enjoyed them a lot. And there's a few songs that really take me back a bit. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. This is Morning Sedition.
Yep.
This is Air America Radio you're listening to. Here we go. It's time to look at the Presidential Daily Briefing, that highly classified, top-secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is entitled, Upbeat Slogans Trigger Dangerous Levels of Irony. Mr. President, it has come to our attention that you had to stop using the phrase turning the corner in campaign speeches. A wise move, since the last president to use this expression was a Republican named Herbert Hoover, who was blamed for the Great Depression. Clearly not an association likely to pull in the swing states. When you use expressions like turning the corner, you unwittingly provide the other side with a weapon called irony. We realize it's too late to introduce you to new concepts, but irony can be a serious threat if unchecked. Unfortunately, we've reached a point where such upbeat messages only provoke snickering from the snotty and unpatriotic left. However, truthful slogans such as, the economy is slowly and steadily tanking, or your job went to India, won't get us any votes either. So the situation is this. You can't run on your record, you can't say upbeat things about the future, and you certainly can't tell the truth. So the only card left in your deck is the attack carry card. Even now, we have teams of researchers combing his 20 years of faithful service in the Senate for even the most minor embarrassments, a period of time you were safely drilling dry holes all over Texas. So bash early and bash often. Remember, if all else fails, we can still blow something up on November 1st. Hoover Dam? Nah, that would be too ironic. And we've been through all that. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security. That's seditious. 866-303-2270. Here we go, Ron in St. Louis. What's going on?
Hey, Ron.
How are you?
Oh, great. I think, you know, some of the issues on insurance companies are being overlooked, like homeowners and car insurance.
Right.
And what, you know, we moved in our home 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And homeowners for us went from 301 a year to 945 a year.
In how many
years?
Within 5 years?
Wow.
In 5 years' time.
Slightly higher than the rate of inflation.
No, there's no inflation.
I know. I'm being sarcastic.
That's crazy, man. So that means they just jack these prices up at will. Insurance companies are pretty, you know, evil entities, and we've talked a little bit about them during some of our, you know, tort reform conversations. And there is some sort of, I would, maybe, you know, we should dedicate a show or at least dedicate some time into researching, you know, just how evil insurance companies are, because they don't answer to anybody. They can just jack their rates up at will. The insurance companies are private, you know, corporations that can invest other people's money.
Well, you know, it's interesting. In New Jersey, where the insurance companies, the car insurance companies, are supposed to be regulated, what happens is, you know, they put a cap on their profits, they leave. They just say, okay, well, we're just not going to write any insurance in the state anymore.
It's unbelievable. It's like the biggest racket there is, and it's institutionalized. You have to have it.
Yeah, you do. Well, yeah, by law, you have to have it. Car insurance.
It's a fix. Did you ever see the movie Bullworth?
Halle Berry and Warren Beatty.
I think it's the insurance company guy that eventually takes him out because he was meddling with the don't meddle with the primal forces of nature, as they say in Network. Oh, I got to get that. I'm going to put that in my board. I want that speech. I want that Ned Beatty speech. Thanks for that call. I'd like to have an intelligent conversation about it. So that caller from St. Louis, let me prepare. I'll have something on it tomorrow or when we come back from vacation. We'll investigate the insurance companies a little bit. We're going to talk to Marie in Minnesota. How are you?
Hi, Marie.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, Neil.
Good. What's on your mind?
I'm just calling because I was, like, listening to your guest.
Yeah.
And just realizing that I was disagreeing with absolutely everything that he was saying.
He's a very smart and very, you know, well-spoken guy, Secretary Reich is. And if you can, you should read his book. It's called Reason. And it's available on AirAmericaRadio.com. But it's just it's a really great read that really fleshes out a lot of the liberal ideas that he has and how they can really work in the future in governing the United States. Thanks for calling.
And I appreciate that he clarifies his idea as well. I agree with you there. I just disagree with his viewpoint. And I think that, you know, I don't know all the specifics about the national sales tax as opposed to income tax. But in theory, to me, it makes complete sense because why do you want to tax someone's income. You're trying to encourage people to work hard, succeed, and do well. And the way the income tax is now, it's like, yeah, great, go work hard, do well, get a better job, and your reward is we're going to punish you and
take
all your
money.
Pay more in taxes.
Yeah, it's really.
But you know, see, there's a big bit of mythology about the income tax. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was a kid, many, many moons ago, the top tax rate in this country was somewhere on the order of 80 to 90%. I mean, people that made really stupid money in the 60s were getting taxed at an extraordinarily high rate. What we have seen take place in the last 20, 25 years is an actual erosion in the amount of tax. In other words, a tax cut for the people at the top of the food chain. Right now, I don't think they're paying much more than 35, 40%, where several decades ago they were paying twice that much. So they are not being taxed at the same rate they were before. And I don't know this whole idea that people make money because they work hard. To some extent, that's true, but it's not universally true. It really is.
That people make money because they work hard?
Yeah, I mean, some people simply inherit money. Some people invest smart, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with any of that.
Well, one of the issues we were talking about today, you know, in different words, was that this administration and this particular economic situation that this country is in rewards people who don't work over people who work, who rewards people that don't do manual work. It rewards people that move money around, you know, successfully.
Well, see, here's my question to people. When people start saying, well, you know, if a CEO, increases profits, then they should get, a raise or whatever.
Right.
Let's see whether we can actually correlate the increase in the disparity to success in running a company, because I'm not sure that's always true. In many cases, people fail upward. In other words, their companies don't make a dime more, or in some cases, they even lose money, but they still get raises.
Happens all the time in show business, the failing upward thing. Let's take one more call, because I think it'll provoke us. A quick call from Rodney in New Jersey. How are you, Rodney?
What's up, Rodney?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Great show. Thank God we got somebody on the other side of the aisle talking to radio other than the fools on the other station.
We appreciate it.
But, you know, I heard the 8:30 news about, and I want to make sure I got it clear, of the Republican groups now taking out ads on black radio stations.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hammering Terry and,
right,
and having sent in his wife about being rich and white and from an African nation.
Oh, wow.
I am sick of a Republican. It's like, guys, do me a favor. This is about issues. Enough of the trashing and the garbage. Because if I was John Kerry and that ad came out, the first debate, I'd drop Bush for talking about my wife.
I agree with you 100%.
Thanks for your call, Ryan.
And, you know, the other thing that is so fallacious about this argument is the idea that black people should be in both parties to create some kind of mythological balance. Nobody tells conservatives that they should be in the Democratic Party so that you're in both parties. Follow your ideology. You follow the party that delivers.
It's that divide and conquer thing. That's all
Absolutely.
It is. All right, we'll be back in a minute on Air America Radio.
This year, you are going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the very first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. SmokeRx has a 95% success rate, so we guarantee that you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 1 week. Unlike gums or patches, SmokeRx is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. Best of all, SmokeRx starts to work immediately. Come on. Aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? We're so confident that SmokeRx will work for you that we're giving away a free month supply with all of today's orders. Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, SmokeRx is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back. Call now to receive a free month supply with your order.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
Home Something News just come to town. Bigger, bolder, brassier than anything you've ever heard before. They got names, big names. Riggins, Banks, Reeves, plus a posse of pros. And they're bringing the big guns of the NFL to Sirius. Live 24/7. NFL all the time. NFL Radio. Sirius 124.
Weather map shows tropical storms just south of Louisiana.
At the Red Cross, just a few hours of your time helps make countless services possible. Whether you'd like to help out on the front lines or behind the scenes, there's something everyone can do to help prepare people in your community. Join the Red Cross and become part of something bigger than us all. To get involved, contact your local American Red Cross or visit www.redcross.org.
Ever seen a hornet, Shelly?
No, ma'am.
Oh, well, you're fine. What are you waiting for? They've built a nest outside your window. See?
No.
You will when you climb 15 feet up this ladder to get rid of them. Take this insecticide and broom and send those stinging meanies packing.
What if I fall? I could get hurt.
Oh, you know about gravity already. You're so smart. Oh, go, 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 go. The hornets are waiting.
Shoot! Get away!
Scream at them, dear. Hornets hate high pitched noises. Yeah, try not to swallow too many.
Get away!
Now knock that nest out of the park.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
I can't see! Are they biting me?
Oh, that's so cute. No, honey, hornets don't bite, silly. They sting.
Ow!
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
All right, let's land this thing. Mark Riley.
Hi.
I'm Mark Maron.
Hi, Al.
Terrific. Going to be on Sundance Channel. Kent Jones, our writer, one of the writers here at the network on the Franken Laugh.
One more laugh out of him and he'll be an ex-writer.
Okay, all right, that's it. You're fired. That was funny, but you're fired. Very funny. Right. We're just taking a couple of cheap shots at Al. He can take it. And if you wonder why, because they asked why is Randy Rhoads, what's going on behind the scenes? Well, maybe some of those questions could be answered if you read the interview with me and Riley in a... Oh, there wasn't one.
There wasn't
maybe,
one. That's okay.
Maybe if you saw that piece on us in Vanity Fair about Air America with me and Riley. That wasn't
no.
Oh, but we'll explain it on the when we're on the Sundance Channel because our shows get. Oh,
no.
That's Al Franken's show. Or maybe you'll read in the new Premiere magazine all about Mark and I.
No. But you know where you can find out?
What?
We got a call the other day from Bronze Thrills.
Yeah?
Yeah, they want to do something.
I don't even know what it is, but it sounds good. Bronze
Thrills. No, Bronze Thrills is, I should explain that. Bronze Thrills was one of a number of old black magazines that used to come out like in the 50s. And there was Sepia, there was Bronze Thrills, there were all. And Bronze Thrills was kind of like this very racy. You know, and they used to tell stories like the Saturday Evening Post.
Oh, really?
Yeah, only all about black people and all about, you know, black detectives, the kind of guys that Walter Mosley writes about.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's not out anymore?
No, it's not. It's been gone. But Bronze Thrills was always like, because I always liked the name of it, you know. I never knew, I didn't live during a time when black people were called bronze. But, they called Joe Louis the Bronze Bomber for a long time.
Really?
That's
So, Kent, where are you going on vacation? Are you going?
Not next week. I have other duties here at the network.
That's right, because Unfiltered comes back.
You got it.
So
you
he never gets vacation.
And where are you going? Oh, I'm getting one.
Oh.
Where are you going?
I'm going to spend some time out with my brother on the island, you know, just hanging.
Oh, because you can barbecue and stuff and hang out in his yard? Does he got a pool and stuff?
No pool. He's got a nice yard. It's a nice downtown. We can go listen to, we listen to music. My brother and I listen to music for like hours at a time.
I got
to
start talking to my brother more often.
Two brothers and a sister. We talk all the time.
I got one brother, and like we barely talk right now. No, it's not a bad thing. I just got to, I got to activate it. You know, sometimes you just drift, and your lives become different. And you're like, dude, what's going on? Let's just hang out and listen to music.
My family was called, ironically enough, the Klan. I mean, we really were a very Klanish group of people.
That's nice. Yeah. We're all of us. My family's very. Oh, you know what? That's a good time for that to happen. It was about to get sad. Yeah. Here's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Write these down, marching soldiers of liberal denominations. One, finally break down and scrape the Dukakis sticker off the Volvo. Yay. Two, picket the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community center. What is their problem with hermaphrodites? Why can't we all be involved? I mean, I'm not a hermaphrodite, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah. Sure. I prefer the word she-male. Or chick with a chainy. Three, remember, constantly shove your beliefs down people's throats. It's what we do, gang. Four, criticize Olympic Committee for borrowing the Palestinian rock throwing team. And five, phrase of the day. Sorry, I'm rushing, Kent. Just throw into any conversation. We wouldn't even be having this discussion if the victim were black.
Oh!
I had to get in there because now we got to go.
We got to go. But coming up on tomorrow's Morning Tradition, you've heard morning radio shows talk about vaginas before, but you've never heard liberal morning radio. You'll do it tomorrow. The mystery and the history of vaginas. I'm sorry. That's tomorrow's Morning Tradition here on Air America Radio. Have a good day, y'all.
Bye.